Network Media Complex on WTKS FM HD1, Cocoa Beach, Orlando. Available anywhere you go on the iHeartRadio app. Download it now. Groundbreaking, critically acclaimed. And now, the Phillips File.
All right, here we go. Hold your ears, folks. It's showtime.
I got nothing. I really got nothing. I've been running around all day. The best I can do is come up with a monkey that stole a baby in India. We'll get to that in a couple of minutes. Hello there. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome. It's the start of the Phillips File, this one for Wednesday. That's Wednesday, November 14th, the year 2018. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Phillips, here once again to take your phone calls and listen to your stuff, whatever your stuff might happen to be. News and current events, we can do that. We can talk about your life. Feel free to talk about mine. And, of course, we'll find so many other things to talk about this afternoon. We always do, so take part in the most listened to, the most popular, the most widely heard, the highest rated radio program of its kind in the entire state of Florida. Pick us up on iHeartRadio. That's one way to do it. Send us a text at realradio.fm. We'll read it. We'll check it out and then decide whether we want to use it on the air. But otherwise, long distance, toll-free, 1-888-978-1041. For those of you in the Metro, 407-916-1041. Just a reminder, the Phillips File last live show is next Tuesday as I head into retirement. A Phillips File tribute show is planned for Wednesday, next Wednesday. Then it's Best Of on Thanksgiving Day and Friday. And then the Jim Colbert Show debuts Monday, November 26th at 3. So there we go. I had the pleasure of being on the radio with Drew Garabo today. He's over in Tampa. And he's a big star over there. Drew, of course, had his own show here at Real Radio. He worked for me, I think starting before he was 20. Started working for me in certain capacities. And so he's kind enough to.
That's a little ambiguous.
Well, I mean, he was a producer. He was he was a producer, and he was a board operator, and it was all that kind of stuff. And certain people in this business, right off, as my wife refers to them, as people having woo, the woo.
Uh-huh.
That means something. It's going to work out for him in the business, and Drew has the woo, and he's doing very well in Tampa. And I appreciate him taking time on his show to just kind of chit chat and share some old stories. So there we go. What else do we have going on? CNN, I think it's on CNN. It's a story about how a monkey stole a 12-week-old baby. It's not a funny story. It's a terrible story.
Oh,
but the reason I point this out is you got to be very careful with these primates. I don't care whether it's a monkey or it's a gorilla or a chimpanzee.
Or
the dingo stole my baby!
If you're an adult, they can rip your ears off and rip your nose. They can do
a lot of damage
to you. I don't know why people find it so, it's only a little monkey. It's a rhesus monkey or something like that. They still can probably, poke their fingers in your ears or something. Why would you have one of those things? You got to put a diaper on them, right?
Oh, isn't that cute?
Okay, time for you to change the baboon's diaper.
Especially, chimps, they can mess you up.
Any of them can mess. Because they're strong. I don't know what it is. The ability to, essentially their ability to rip you apart. Any of them, I think, can. If they can swing through the jungle, what is that? What's the one that, is that a chimpanzee or is that a baboon?
Baboon.
Is that a baboon that swings like that?
They've got hands for feet.
What was the one in the Clint Eastwood movie? What was that?
He's an orangutan. Yeah. Any which way but loose?
Yeah, orangutan. By the way, it's not orangutan. Uh-huh. It's an orangutan.
I heard that right chimps will grab you and then start twisting, and that's how they separate your skin from your body.
Remember that woman? There was one woman, maybe it was a dog. Yeah. I think it was a monkey, though, and she had her whole face ripped off.
Oh, yeah. Charla Nash?
That was a chimpanzee.
Yeah. And then they replaced her face.
You know, I hope you're, you know, yeah, I hope everything's working out for you, but what are you doing with a chimpanzee?
And she looked like Nick Cage.
What are you
doing? Jesus.
I mean, what are you doing? You got to know that going into it. I got it.
That was a horrible movie, and I am still angry at
I
that.
I want to take his face off.
That
it
movie
was terrible. With John Travolta,
Nick Cage so face bad. Off. But it's so bad it made me angry. That movie was made.
Don't you hate it when you go? Yeah, pay good money, go see a movie. Said this thing is terrible. This is awful.
They save so much money on like special effects because just halfway through they're like, okay, John Travolta, you're now Nick Cage and Nick vice versa.
It's like when we flip on Casting Call, same concept. Yeah.
Good thing they have the exact same body.
You know, this is another. You know, we were talking yesterday about these goofus kids in Wisconsin with their Nazi salute. You know, as a parent, you got to tell your kids as they're growing up, because kids, you know, academically they might do pretty well, but you know, their common sense reasoning hasn't completely formed yet. So you have to tell them no Nazi anything. All right, you just don't no Nazi. You don't go Nazi. All right.
No.
Even if your uncle's a white nationalist, don't go Nazi. This will you know it's not good. It's just not good to do that.
Don't go full Nazi.
Unless you're a Nazi, but my point was yesterday, if you're Nazi,
then
you got to go full Nazi, we can know the kind of butthole you are. All right. So if you're standing there for a photo and somebody says, "Hey, let's go Nazi," and you are a Nazi, you got to give them the old, you know, you got to give the old straight arm. But those kids are like, I don't know, Nazi, no Nazi. But you got to know that kind of stuff. And another thing is that parents ought to do with their children say, under no circumstances should you adopt a monkey. Under no circumstances is this a good pet. It's not going to work out well for you, all right? It's just not going to, you know, you could lose your nose.
You're not the boss of me.
Yeah, you could lose. They can rip your what is it, your thorax? What is this?
Larynx.
Larynx, yeah. They can rip it right out.
I don't like it anyway. Like
crush it. They can crush it and stomp on it and jump up and down. And then they slap their hand on their forehead, you know?
And then they're screaming at you.
Yeah, and they get that big teeth thing where they got that big smile.
Yeah.
And then it lights a cigarette and smokes it right over
and
you.
They start jumping up and down.
It blows the smoke right in your eyes.
That hand on the forehead smile thing, I think it was in like one movie, but it's like...
They put their hand on their
image
forehead.
Of a monkey.
And they give that big monkey chimp grin.
A texter says that they had a friend who had his Achilles ripped by one in Bali.
Ow.
Imagine being in Bali on vacation and your Achilles tendon is ripped out by a monkey.
No, thank you. All right, one more thing before we break. Fritz is with us this afternoon as well.
Hi, Fritz.
These fires in California. I mean, I read a story yesterday in one of the magazines about how the cable networks, Fox, CNN, MSNBC, they get down on their hands and knees and thank God every day that Donald Trump is the president, because no matter how much they say, well, you know, they love it. Their ratings have doubled in some instances. Fox's, they're all doing really well because of this guy's in the White House.
They were on their way out the door.
Yeah.
All three of them
are doing that well. And all of a sudden, Trump is elected. They're doing gangbusters. It's like printing money at these networks now. You know, the state of California is burning up, and they might give it a couple of minutes of attention. Then back to Melania Trump's trying to get rid of an assistant national security advisor from John Bolton. You go, what the?
Last night, got
who gives a crap?
I put on TV about 9 o'clock. It's like, all right, I want to get updated on what's going on in California. And all the talk, it was all politics.
I had to find an on-demand
version to get some wildfire.
So I have friends who live. It's not a crowd I run around with, but I know these individuals. They live in Beverly Hills.
Oh, look at you!
Yeah, I mean, if I had their money, I'd be living in Beverly Hills too, and be doing this gig.
Ayo.
So, I said, "How's everything going?" Because they contacted me, happy retirement. How's everything in California? Said the fire's about 20 miles away.
Damn.
I said, don't do that garden hose thing, will you, please? And if they tell you to get out of there, just get out of there.
What's the garden hose thing?
The garden hose. They're out. Well, the people are out there with their garden hoses. So, you know, they get these brush fires and wildfires that are, you know, with what, 1,500 degree temperatures, and they're out there with a garden hose, you know, watering down there. I got news for you. You can water down your roof, but if those embers fall on your roof, you're still going to go up.
And that's it, Fritz, to protect the, if you figure if you're keeping the roof wet, so an ember that lands on it will extinguish before catching.
Now I don't, I don't know the physics behind it, but I would imagine somebody can figure this out in Texas once you know the answer. So you have water coming out of a garden hose, right? At what temperature would it be? 65, 70, 75, yeah. Something like that, maybe.
Yeah, whatever the.
At what temperature does that water turn into steam?
Mm-hmm.
Meaning,
Pinkman,
so
research.
You got these wildfires heading for your house, right?
Yeah. And all of a sudden, it would be like a steam gun.
At what point, you know, you got your garden hose pointed at a bush that's on fire or a tree.
Yeah.
There's a certain point. It's not going to do you any good because it's going to turn to steam, right?
Water, when it gets to 212 degrees Fahrenheit, turns to steam.
Yeah, and these wildfires are, what, 4,000 degrees,
I think? 1,400.
Yeah, you're out there with those old sprinklers. Remember the ones, the oscillating ones that would go back? Yeah, the rain. You got a rain bird or you got the, I can't even remember what they're called.
The wavy one.
The wavy one will go, and I'll just back. Look, they tell you get out of town, get out of town. If you got enough money to live in Beverly Hills, hopefully you have enough money for insurance, and you can rebuild. But you have to wait until everything grows back a little bit, because after the fires, then you have to worry about mudslides. It's the Phillips File on Real Radio 104.1. All right, Mo's not here today, so Mr. Pinkman and Mr. Fritz have come along to do the news.
Oh, yeah.
I like your hair there, Mr. Pinkman.
Thank you.
Ooh.
I styled it today.
Yeah, it looks nice.
Oh, yeah, bro.
I heard you on the News Junkie talking about how you can't get out of your driveway anymore.
Yeah, that's a really fun occurrence lately.
Wait, why? Come along and say, you might want to move your car because we're going to be digging up the culvert or whatever the hell they're doing?
Well, yesterday they knocked on my door at like 7:30 in the morning and they're like, hey, man, listen, like we're going to be regrading the road because they've had it torn up for months now. He's like, if you're going to work, you might want to move your car now. And I was like, okay, thanks. So I moved it. Then I go to leave this morning. They're digging holes on either side of my street. And I had to drive through some very deep dirt and drift my very lovely four-cylinder Honda Civic around.
Didn't they tell
you,
step on the gas and don't let off until you get on the main road? Otherwise, you get stuck.
Yeah, he said, whatever you do, don't stop once you start going. So I hit this sharp corner, and I'm like, I can't hit the brake right now. I had to quick turn the wheel and drifted it around.
That's kind of cool.
It was awesome.
I say, like, dude, if I get stuck, you're going to pull me out of here.
Yeah, right. Get that bulldozer and scoop me out, bro.
It's good for your frame. I already got the news.
All righty. Let's start with the California fires death toll. It is now at an official number of 48. Many are still missing. They reported today 6 more fatalities in that Northern California blaze, bringing that total again to 48. They haven't disclosed the total number still missing, but earlier in the week, the figure was more than 200. Butte County Sheriff Corey Honea said a list of the missing would be released soon and that 100 National Guard troops would be helping the teams already looking for the remains. He said, we want to be able to cover as much ground as quickly as we possibly can. And he said, it is indeed a very difficult task. I'm sure no one would expect that to be easy.
Yeah, I got a problem with looters, I guess, here and there. But what are you going to loot? I guess you could only loot something that had been burned down.
Well, yeah.
And a word to the wise, if you're a looter, don't go to paradise. Because paradise, California, doesn't exist anymore.
They say the...
Yeah, I was thinking about that. Like, diamonds wouldn't burn, right? Gemstones?
No, your jewelry's okay, I believe. Well, not maybe some of the metals may have melted.
Oh, your metal, the metal would be melted.
See, yeah, but...
So you're going to go out there and start sifting around in the ashes looking for diamonds?
No, I'm not saying that.
I think some people would.
Some people would, yeah.
Wait.
Well, how would you do that? Everything is burned. I mean, you can't...
Fritz just went 180 degrees and then went 180 degrees the other way.
He gets scared sometimes. It's just...
I'm not advocating that. I was just like, wait a minute.
He's like, hey, they can do this. No, they wouldn't do that. Yeah, they might.
They might.
You mentioned Paradise. Their official number for homes destroyed now is 7,700 in that town alone.
Oh, my gosh.
I was watching, late at night after Colbert. What's his name?
James Corden.
Yeah, who I like.
He's great.
Yeah, at the end, I mean, I can't remember what it is, but there's a fund. You know, you can send some money. I guess if he says it, it's legit. Got to watch out for scammers out there.
Yeah, he's got an honest face.
You better watch out how you spend your... You need to think about start saving money. You're on a fixed income now, right?
Yeah, you should buy gold from those Fox News commercials.
Jim, with your retirement, one of the most commonly asked questions at Real Mobile 77031 is, how will we know when it's okay to buy gold? Because you always said you would tell us when
I'll text somebody here. I'll text you or somebody.
Put out the buy gold alert.
You don't buy gold, hell.
Not yet.
Market's down again today.
Son of a boy. I know. I was just about to check, too. Over to you, Fritz.
Hey, thank you. Well, here's some good news. A Central Oregon rancher, her name is Claire Staples. She went into the Woolsey Fire in Malibu, and she was trying to save some horses.
Where are you going with this?
Well, she wants to save horses.
Yep. I know, but you know how sometimes...
Oh, no, it's not one of those.
It's a positive story, and if anyone knows how you don't like animals getting hurt, it's all of us except for maybe Fritz.
So she... Hey, how dare you?
Go ahead.
What'd you do?
She owns the Sky Dog Sanctuary Ranch. It's a 9,000-acre safe ranch for wild horses, and she's got three ranches in California where she, you know, will rescue horses and then will save them there from at-risk situations. So she woke up Friday, and she filled up two trailers with horses before a sheriff like made her, you know, get the hell out of Dodge. She ended up saving 16 horses. So she dropped off those horses and then drove hours back and then actually drove through the fire for 2.5 minutes straight to get those horses
out. I guess it's easier than rounding up 16 cowboys. And...
Yeah. But, yeah.
Saddled up.
She had that 1,000-yard stare when she was on CNN. This was just a couple minutes ago. She was talking about driving in, and she was shaking, you know, just wide-eyed. And she's like, I saved all of
it. It's apocalyptic. I mean, you look at it. I can't imagine.
Remember the movie This Is the End with Seth Rogen and James Franco?
Yeah.
The video of the fire surrounding the roads looks just like that movie.
So she ended up saving 10 of her own horses, all 10, and then saved six horses from other ranchers. Saved all of them, drove back.
Awesome.
Nice lady.
Back to you, Pink Man.
Thank you, Fritz Man. President Donald Trump's administration is now contending it had, quote, broad discretion to regulate press access to the White House.
Nah, he's going to lose this one.
Yeah. CNN, of course, is suing the White House now for revoking Jim Acosta's press pass.
You're not going to, it's like, you know, I'll make a bet right now.
Oh, you're betting?
That they lose. The White House loses on this one when it comes to Acosta.
Do you have a Venmo account, perhaps, you know, a Cash App or PayPal? I just want to know if we continue betting.
Yeah, I'll give you my Venmo.
That's going to make all these bets, and when they come due, I won't be here, so I don't have to pay anything.
I don't know. That's when you start winning.
Exactly.
Forget about the bets 3 months from now. You get a dollar on your Venmo account.
Pinkman, you owe me $2. I need to buy some more cat food.
I hope it doesn't come to that. You don't want to be asking me for money. Then you're in really bad dire straits.
Destitute man.
Jim, are you going to grow like a big David Letterman beard, do you think?
No. My wife has very few rules. She has to do whatever you want, but there's certain things. Hot dogs, full beard, that's not happening.
You always
hot
say dogs.
Very hot dogs.
Very few rules, but then there's a list of 10 things.
Yeah, but I know men who have more rules than that, you know. I don't have any of that honeydew stuff or any of that crap. You know, I don't have to worry about that. So no hot dogs, no ham.
No growing beard.
No full beard.
Well, no Xbox.
No RV. No X. Jeez, man, there is a list, isn't there?
No, you can't be a Civil War reenactor.
You're not allowed to eat after midnight.
Can't call your kin.
Can't talk about your days in the holler.
All right, let's just knock that off, all right? Let's just stop that. We'll take a little break.
Sorry.
A text is coming in as we speak. It's the Phillips File on Real Radio 104.1. Don't forget, it's the Jim Colbert Show debuting Monday, November 26th at 3. Last Phillips File Live Show. The last Phillips File Live Show is next Tuesday. And we have a tribute show, Phillips Hall tribute show on Wednesday, best of Thursday and Friday. And then for all intents and purposes, I am out of here. All right, let's get back to the news with Mr. Pinkman and Mr. Fritz.
All righty, sir. We do have a food day today.
Yeah, what do you got?
It's a twofer. National Guacamole Day.
Okay.
The avocado treat.
I like it, but if I never ate it again, I'd be okay.
It's not something I have to have. You're right.
If and you got to watch it. You can really pack on some pounds with guacamole.
It's a good kind of fat, I hear.
That's it's still fat.
How so? It's just fat? Is it? That's all?
No, it's like LDL or something.
Yeah, it's your, that's how you raise your LDL. Eat guacamole.
And it's also National Pickle Appreciation Day.
Pickle?
I love pickles. God, I love pickles.
Eat what kind of pickle do you like?
The
what's
dill.
What's your favorite?
The dill pickle. I'm not a bread and butter pickle fan.
Kosher dill?
Yes.
Big kosher dill?
Oh, the biggest ones you got.
That's wrong.
Boy, they.
Okay.
Over to you, Fritz.
I like the whole pickle, or you like them sliced? And if you like them sliced, do you like the discs, or do you like the, what would you call it?
The sandwich style?
The slight, yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't matter, honestly. And then
what about those little baby, what are the gherkins?
The gherkins.
Yeah,
how
about the sweet gherkins?
Those no, I don't good. Like the sweet gherkins.
That's a good time.
That is a good
it
time.
It's a good time. I mean,
it goes well in Bloody Mary.
If you don't butter pickles, go with Wickles pickles.
Wickles pickles?
Yeah, you just said you love pickles, and then of the four pickles I mentioned, two of them you don't like.
Well, the bread and butter ones I can eat, okay? Because if they are, let's say, mistakenly bought, I will eat the whole jar, and then I'll drink the pickle juice afterwards. It's good for you.
It is good for you.
Electrolytes. I don't know. I honestly don't know. Governor
I'll take
Scott.
The Gatorade any day over a jar of pickle juice. I know it's good for you, but you know.
Yeah, it prevents you from cramping.
Governor Scott will not participate in the statewide elections canvassing commission, and his lawyer said that today, Wednesday, Dan Nordby, his lawyer, said Scott would recuse himself from certifying results of an election he is involved in, as he did in 2014 when he ran for re-election.
Well, he's so a that's piece of work, isn't
that's
he?
That's because he's in Washington now. He's part of the freshman photo shoot for incoming senators.
I bet they love him, these elder statesmen in the upper chamber of Congress. You know, and they see this guy waltzing in claiming, you know, voter fraud here and there. There's no evidence of voter fraud whatsoever. There might be some incompetence, but there's no evidence of voter fraud down in Broward County, like he's claiming. And if you're going to claim that stuff, have your lawyer do it, not you. Dude, you're a U.S. senator.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on, man.
So, basically, counties still face a 3 p.m. Thursday deadline to report the machine recounts.
Yeah, he's... He's not going to lose.
No, he's not going to lose.
Yeah, why even bitch about it? Dude, you're not going to lose. You're not going to lose in that recount.
I think it's like
recount.
A 100,000 vote difference.
Oh, right I thought now. It was 15,000.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, that too.
I don't see. It just says, you know, the blah, 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 0.25%, blah, blah, blah. But there's no, I don't see any numbers.
What I understand, maybe there's a statistician or somebody, you know, Brad is here, the executive producer for All hey, Gaming. Maybe he
Thanks,
knows
Brad.
Something. He's got 4 degrees, you know.
He doesn't know what he... Oh, yeah.
I don't know what they are.
I heard him bragging about himself
I don't know where they got
game.
It from, so whatever. But it always amazes me in these elections, so many of these elections, it's 51-49 or it's 50-point-whatever. All these congressional elections all over the place. You would think, okay, whatever it is, it's going to be, you know, 65-35 or something. Like, why are they always so close?
Do you think if...
I understand the country's split, but why is the country split... So evenly. Thank you.
Maybe Thank because you.
I'll be here all week.
Maybe because there's two parties.
Oh, they're called pickle spears.
Pickle spears.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah that's
spears,
a good time.
Yeah. Pickle spears.
Yeah, that's a good time.
Someone wants to know if you, Fritz, have you ever tried a tropical?
What's a tropical?
I don't know.
Oh, I know what that is.
I don't like the way that sounds.
Okay, and get ready for this.
What is it?
They are pickle spears. However, they are soaked in, what's the... Fruit punch is what I'm looking for.
So it's a sweet gherkin.
No, it's a disgusting abomination of food. Is more like
that's, I would try that's it.
That violates every norm associated with pickles.
Yeah, I think they sell them at Walmart.
I mean, I would try it though. I'm not opposed. Is what I'm saying. If it's a pickle, I will try it. I like relish.
Well, you're a vegetarian, so you never had pickles. Pickled pig's feet.
No, actually, I tried them. Yeah,
you did
pork rinds. Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't... Nothing I'm going to be able to say is going to get me out of the hut.
Let's go, nerd.
I don't swallow them, so I will chew it.
You're not helping yourself.
Don't swallow what?
Pickles.
Like barbecue, you know, if I have a friend who's like, oh, man.
Is it like wine? What do you do? What do you do? Chew on them and spit them out in the bucket? What do you do?
I'm game. I'll be like, all right, my man, pork belly, I'll try it. And I chew on it, and then like, I just make eye contact. I spit into a napkin, and I warn him beforehand. I was like, I will try your barbecue cooking, and... You know, a lot of people won't even do that.
Yeah, okay, all right.
I'm down, is what I'm saying. There's a party.
You gotta love him, don't you?
Yeah.
He's
just
like, he's like our very own.
Yeah. Whatever do you, Pinky?
It's like if we send him out into the world, I'd be worried about him. Oh, come home.
What do you got, Pinky?
I'm gonna make it.
Senator Marco Rubio has revealed himself to be a complete nerd on Twitter. He said...
I heard this earlier.
He tweeted out last night. Imagine if an NFL team was trailing 24-22, but in final seconds, hits a three-point kick to win.
It's a field goal, doofus.
Then after game lawyers for losing team get a judge to order rules changed so that last-second field goals are only 1 point.
Get out there and kick a three-pointer.
Yeah. Get the three-point kick.
From the arch.
Like, dude, your wife's an ex-NFL cheerleader. Come on.
Oh, ouch.
Wrecked.
Yeah, that's bad.
I was watching a show this morning, and they were just tearing him apart over there.
Oh yeah,
three pointer. They were trying to figure out what sport he was talking about.
Three pointer,
three pointer.
It's a highlight.
Downtown,
and they get a hat trick.
Yeah,
imagine.
I bet he's taking a lot of heat on that too.
Oh yeah.
I mean, come on. He's got to own up to that, right?
Yeah, well, need to do, I mean, if you're smart, you got to get ahead of it as quickly as possible and get out there and make a joke about it. Remember, you know, the water thing? Remember when he was giving the reply to an Obama speech and then he leaned over to grab a bottle of water?
It was just, it's like, it's like he thought he was not on camera, like he was kind of doing it on the side. Meanwhile, he's on camera and all you're doing is watching him awkwardly drink water.
Yeah. So you got, you know, when that happens, when those moments happen, you've got to be quick enough within a short amount of time to recover somehow. And the best thing you do, I believe, is become self-deprecating. Just make fun of yourself and people get it. Then they leave you alone. Been there. I got that hat.
It's the only way out of it.
It is. It's the only way out. It's just, you know, well, boy, that was a doofus move.
Take the power away.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marco Rubio. Over to you, Fritz.
Hey, thank you. Have you heard of this paralyzing condition?
I'd just like to add, you two guys are doing a wonderful job.
Thank you.
You know, you got a flow about you now. But
yeah, we have
like that old Huntley Brinkley thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we might have to actually start hanging out outside the show now.
Aw, like we didn't all day Saturday?
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of this paralyzing condition, Jim? It's a polio-like illness that's been sweeping the country.
No.
Parents are in a nightmare epidemic. Anyway, families say that the CDC isn't doing enough when it comes to acute flaccid myelitis, AFM. It's a polio-like condition. It's on the rise, hitting children between the ages of 2 and 8.
Jesus.
This is crazy. It's really sad.
I've heard a little bit about it.
The CDC is reporting 252 cases this year alone from 27 states. And
always fatal? It's always... Can you prevent the paralysis anyway?
They have lost children, but it's a foot dragging condition.
Oh, like drop foot?
Yeah. So, they have to... They have to do more research. They don't really know too much about them, but
it's a
AFM,
virus.
Yeah, AFM starts off as a fever and a routine it presents with routine respiratory symptoms, and then 10 days later paralysis can set in.
Oh, thank you, Fritz. I'm really sad now.
And there's,
you know,
and they don't know why. It's a big mystery. They think it's got a connection to a rhinovirus. All right, that's all I got. But it's sad. It's crazy.
It's very sad.
On over to you, Pink Man.
Thank you, Fritz. We didn't get to talk about this yesterday, but Juul, the e-cigarette company, is...
Oh, I thought you were talking about the singer.
With
the one with the crooked tooth.
With her dulcet tones.
Yes, Juul, the singer, is currently suspending the retail sales of her flavor pods. They will stop selling most flavored nicotine pods for their e-cigarettes in retail stores. Although that move is only temporary, it comes as the company works to please federal regulators who are mandating it helps reduce the quote, epidemic levels of teen use.
Wouldn't you agree that sometimes, you know, like in Jewel's case, you know, that crooked tooth, there's, you know, it makes her more attractive if she got that tooth straightened. It takes something away.
It's the Owen Wilson effect. Part of their character is the crooked nose or crooked tooth.
Yeah, or Jennifer Grey.
Jennifer Grey.
Yeah, she had her nose fixed.
Oh, yeah.
She
was Dirty Dancing.
Dirty Dancing. What? Then had her nose fixed after that. Did not work as much.
Yes. Yeah, but is she more attractive? I'm not trying to be too sexist. Are you telling me she's less attractive than she was in Dirty Dancing?
I don't know. No, but there's there's a distinct look. Sometimes people have a distinct look, and where it might not be one of those common elements where, you know, it may not be asymmetrical, but there's something about her that makes her unique. Mm-hmm. And when you take that uniqueness away, then it's just like, oh, she's a pretty lady.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's a good way of
Jewel still have that crooked tooth?
I don't know, I'm looking it up right now.
So, Google Snaggle.
So Juul, the e-cigarette retailer, has stopped accepting retail orders for their mango fruit cream and cucumber pods.
Stop doing what is that, vaping?
Yeah.
It's stop doing that.
Well, the weird thing
there's nothing cool about that at all.
Middle school and high school kids.
If you want a cloud of something, start smoking a Camel. You know, well, that didn't sound right. Start smoking a Marlboro or something. Cigarettes.
Now, don't smoke cigarettes. Don't listen to Uncle Jimmy.
Only after you're 18. Then you can start
smoking.
You
don't know. Yeah, there's all chemicals in this vaping. You don't know what you're putting in your body with that stuff. Yeah,
smoke the safe cigarettes instead. Yeah,
exactly.
It's just water vapor, isn't it?
You're just water vapor.
That I don't even know what that means or what you're implying.
98% of you.
Over to you, friends.
Juul, I don't think fixed her teeth.
Oh, someone else texted that she did.
I mean, it looks like she...
I got a split decision, ladies and gentlemen.
Cindy Crawford's mole, Real Mobile says.
Yeah, okay, all right, okay.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Robert De Niro's mole.
No, I think Robert De Niro, you could remove that, and you wouldn't even know it was gone.
I don't know, man.
Forget about it.
Anyway. The monorail door fell off of a train at Disney World's Grand Floridian. Did you guys hear about that?
No.
Yes.
This was yesterday. I guess... A scooter hit the train door and it fell off, and the monorail stopped, and someone snapped a photo of it. The door was just dangling below the tracks, and then they had to get like a cherry picker out to try to put it back on. But
they got that thing back on within 5 minutes.
Oh yeah, it was repaired.
It's a well-oiled machine out there.
Mm-hmm. It was repaired by a It was repaired after being hit by a motorized scooter driven by a passenger boarding the stationary train. So they got it fixed, but...
Oh, I hope they kicked that person out.
Yeah. Banned forever. Get out.
Like, dude, what'd you do? You just ran your scooter into the monitor. What'd you do that for?
Yeah. Look at the door. It's dangling.
Do they still wear those goofy plastic phony poser safety helmets if you're working the monorail?
The little plastic ones?
Yeah.
I don't know. Let me look it up. Mono.
You know, I don't think so.
I don't remember... I think I was there like 30, 40 years ago. They used to
you know, they have the uniform and then the plastic helmet that was supposed to look like a construction helmet.
Yeah. I'm trying to think.
I don't think so.
To try to make it like more futuristic looking?
I was first there in December of 1975.
They're worried about a door falling off.
Or that. How can the door fall off, though? I don't get it. This person must have been driving like a bat out of hell, right?
Supercharged mobility scooter.
Right at the monorail. It's like dented.
Two different people texting right back to back. Michael Strahan's gap tooth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's an iconic, uncharacteristic,
thing.
Mm-hmm. On his face.
In his mouth.
It's his teeth.
What else?
Yeah, that's all I got. On over to you, Pinky.
UCF is changing their parking policies for College Game Day this Saturday.
Oh, let's hear it.
Can I actually have parking?
That one would hope so.
Well, I was there last week, and actually parking wasn't bad as long as you were willing to walk 3 miles.
That's usually the case. Traditionally, lots would not open till around noon for an 8 p.m. game. However, fans will not be clear to consume alcohol on campus until 2 p.m. Saturday, so I think they're going to do that a little bit later.
Come on. It's two different events, so College Game Day will be there from 9 till noon.
Oh, I'm drunk out there with Lee Corso.
Then when they want to clear that crowd and then allow them to set up for tailgating.
Gotcha.
It's an 8 o'clock kickoff on Saturday night. This could be a tough game for UCF. Cincinnati only has one loss, and they're a pretty tough team.
Listening to Angel yesterday, I think he was saying the UCF Athletic Department has sent out a memo urging for that college game day show to, if you show up, to have, you know, be polite and have nice signs and
be good fans.
That's the worst thing you can do. Yeah. The worst thing you can do is say, "Hey, we'd really, really appreciate it if you'd watch what you put on your signs." And I think somebody mentioned there's going to be some goofus out there, right? That's going to have a sign, go UCF, but it's going to be a peel away. Yeah. All right, son, you can go in. It says go UCF, and he goes in there, and all of a sudden it's going to be a peel away, and it's a photograph of his genitalia or something.
That would be so cool, I think, if anyone could actually get away with that on live TV. It would be great.
You know how many people would want to apply to UCF after something like that?
Probably.
I mean, you got to let's say, another season of victories, and then so look at these guys, man, marching around with, penis signs.
How about if fans get the real radio logo? Or Phil, Jim, a picture of you, Jim on a stick on TV. Okay. Then they get to be a producer for the final Phillips final.
Oh,
brilliant idea!
Well, this changes everything.
Mm-hmm. You can Wins come in next Thursday.
Now, how do you secure that? The guy, you got 15 people out there. Hey, where's the guy on TV? okay.
Like Pinkman said, come in on Thursday.
Yeah. Over to you, Fritz.
Thank you. This is a misleading headline, but I'm going to say it anyway because I think it's, it kind of irked me. E-Pass toll lanes will close on State Road 408 and State Road 429. That is from the Orlando Sentinel. But here's the thing.
Yeah.
It's just the E-Pass lanes of the Pine Hills Plaza on 408 West and New Independence Plaza on State Road 429 South, and it's just for, a week for a system upgrade. Doesn't that really grind your gears?
The road's supposed to be paid for already, but they're still charging us. Can you believe that?
Yeah. Wait a minute. Whoa. I mean, they're closing it, so you don't have to pay.
Yeah, for a week.
Not in those areas.
And then they're going to
reopen.
Yeah,
so you just said, they're not going to charge you. They got to close down.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Well, because doesn't the headline read E-Pass toll lanes will close on State Road 408, State Road 429? Doesn't that read all of them?
Oh, that's what I thought.
You know, like a clickbait article?
Yeah, okay.
This one weird trick.
Damn you, Scott Maxwell.
Yeah, so the toll lanes in Pine Hills on State Road 408 West closed at 10 a.m. today, and they're expected to reopen 6 a.m. tomorrow. That's it.
Just one day.
Thank you, Fritz.
You could go back and forth a dozen times, really save some money.
Yeah.
You want to do some birthdays?
Yeah, sure.
Get all your errands.
All right. I guess we can let Brad play, huh?
Sure. Brad's here. Executive producer for All Gaming.
How about one Mr. Patrick Warburton of Seinfeld, Family Guy?
Putty.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Putty?
Yeah.
He's doing those car rental commercials.
Yes, sir. What do you got, Jim?
Fifty-eight.
Fritz.
54.
On the money.
Oh, come on, man.
I know. The one time he actually makes a good guess.
Holiday magic. You know what we're talking about, Fritz?
Yeah, he's in Lemony Snicket's The Unfortunate Series of Events. He's got the face where he's always squinting.
The one on Netflix?
Yeah, he squints a lot.
He's the narrator.
When he was Putty, he squinted a lot.
Was he also the Tick, or am I thinking of something?
Yes.
Yes. Awesome. Points. Let's go with now Josh Duhamel. He was married to Fergie.
Oh, yes. Josh.
It's a light birthday day today.
I'm going to say he's 44.
Ooh, Jim, you want to go? You want to Brad?
I got Brad go.
Brad.
I was going to say that.
Say something else.
42.
Because 44 was wrong. Jim, what do you want to do?
I'm going to go a little bit higher, Jack. I'm going to go 47.
I will say 45.
You got all around it, 46.
Jim and I split.
I'll take a half a point.
Happy birthday!
And
maybe 3 cans of cat food at the store.
Finally, let's go with...
Fancy Feast?
One Britain's Prince Charles.
Ooh, Jim's a big fan. You want to go first, sir?
My wife said she just snorted.
At what?
Something was said on the program. She says she was laughing out loud so much in the story. She said, "I think I snorted." What was that?
Prince Charles. You're up.
Well, exactly. Well, don't you know he's...
Oh, boy.
He's now 67.
Oh, please. Not even close.
Yeah.
Fritz.
77.
What? Oh, my gosh. Brad?
No, about 70.
Oh, buddy.
Come on, Brad.
Come on, you with your 4 degrees.
What's he doing here?
Yeah, I know, right? He shows up. He's like, I'm smarter than you. Yeah, I was in the Air Force. I have 4 degrees. I write games.
I'm so smart.
I play golf for a living.
Anyway, so we'll take a little break. Let me come back. Bonus round of closest to the pin. Here's what we'll do. We'll open up the lines, right? And Mr. Pinkman will choose one of you at random. Then you choose either Pinkman or Fritz to win that bonus round of closest to the pin. If you choose correctly, good fortune for the rest of your life. If you choose incorrectly, whew, bad luck for 24 hours. Next on Real Radio 104.1.
Your chance to win $1,000 is just minutes away on Real Radio 104.1.
And now the Phillips File presents a game that is not about being right or wrong.
Wrong!
It's a game that rewards the lucky.
Hey, everybody, we're all gonna get late.
It's a game where you just have to be close.
That's right, you've got that right.
The game is Closest to the Pin.
Let's go while we're young.
And now, here's your ever-excited host, Jim Phillips.
That's the fact, Jack.
That's a fact, Jack! Bonus round of closest to the pin. Chris is on the line. Let's see what goes on here. Chris, all right, you know the deal today. You have to pick either Mr. Pinkman or Fritz to win the game. You do it correctly, you will have good fortune for the rest of your life. If you pick incorrectly, bad luck for 24 hours. What do you want to do, Chris?
That's a tough one. Let's do Fritz today.
Oh, you're going with Fritz. All right, hold on there. Surprising. Good luck to you, Chris. All right, who goes first?
I'm walking.
Fritz. Well, Jim, we were going to... How about we switch it and we make
Pinkman...
No. Okay, Fritz goes out in the hallway.
Nice try.
All right, Mr. Pinkman. I've got 10 questions for you, including the crow question at the end. You're not allowed to use Brad, the executive producer for All Gaming, who sits right behind you. All right, you ready?
Okay, deal.
Here we go, countdown.
In 3, 2, 1...
On this day in history, November 14th, the novel Moby Dick by Herman Melville was first published. What year was that?
1878.
Herman's Hermits was a popular British rock band that had a hit song called I'm Into Something Good that was released in what year?
1964.
Good Will Hunting is a movie starring Robin Williams and Matt Damon. It was released in what year?
2001.
The Heart is a Lonely Hunter was a best-selling novel by Carson McCullers and first published in what year?
1921.
Kit Carson is an iconic American frontiersman who died in what year?
1891.
Johnny Carson retired as host of The Tonight Show in what year?
1979.
Here's Johnny. The movie called The Shining, starring Jack Nicholson, was released in what year?
That was 1977.
Stephen King wrote The Shining. How old is King?
He is now 73.
Johnny Cash was worth $60 million when he died in what year?
2003.
Getting within 25, you went outright. If Johnny Cash was a crow in Kingsland, Arkansas, his place of birth, he would have to fly how many miles to reach Little Rock?
81.
Time?
Oh, boy.
All right.
Hey. Fritz in.
Wow.
Oh, someone tell Fritz to come back in.
Fritz, come back in.
Good I like job. Your answers. They were assertive. They were affirmative. Is that because Brad is sitting behind you?
He has a knife in my ribs.
Okay.
Jesus.
Fritz, I have 10 questions for you, including the crow question. Are you ready?
Yep.
All right, let's have a countdown.
In 3, 2, 1, begin.
On this day in history, November 14th, the novel Moby Dick by Herman Melville was first published. What year was that?
1849.
Herman's Hermits was a popular British rock band that had a hit song called I'm Into Something Good that was released in what year?
1965.
Good Will Hunting is a movie starring Robin Williams and Matt Damon. It was released in what year?
1998.
The Heart is a Lonely Hunter was a best-selling novel by Carson McCullers and first published in what year?
I have no idea. 1910.
Kit Carson is an iconic American frontiersman who died in what year?
That would be 1895.
Johnny Carson retired as host of The Tonight Show in what year?
1994.
Here's Johnny. The movie called The Shining, starring Jack Nicholson, was released in what year?
1975.
Stephen King wrote The Shining. How old is King?
Actually, 1980 on that previous one. King is 65.
Johnny Cash was worth $60 million when he died in what year?
Johnny Cash died in 2003.
Get it within 25, you win outright. If Johnny Cash was a crow in Kingsland, Arkansas, his place of birth, he would have to fly how many miles to reach Little Rock?
50?
Time.
Oh, my.
My God.
Oh, let's score this my. Game.
Goodness.
On this Fritz, day in history.
Well, just one point. When you give your answer is done. You can't go back and change your answer.
Right?
I didn't
you know can't that. Go back.
I
no,
didn't know that.
No, you can't do that.
Not only that. Oh, I'll let it go.
Damn
go
it. Ahead.
On this day in history, November 14th. What did it say, 13th?
I didn't know that.
did I say November 13th?
Yes, you said Juneteenth.
November 14th, the novel Moby Dick was first published. What year was that? And
Pinkman said 1878. Fritz went with 1849.
Not too far off, 1851.
Fritz nice. Leads the game.
Remember Herman's Hermits? Probably not, I do.
Something good?
Yeah, they on it to something good. It was released in what year, Pinkman said?
1964. Fritz, what upped him? 1965.
Somebody got it right on the money.
Oh,
1964.
Oh.
Yeah, take that, Fritz.
Pinkman's in the lead.
Goodwill Hunting with Robin Williams, Matt Damon, released in what year, Pinkman said?
2001.
And Fritz?
1998.
1997.
Oh, Fritz ties the game.
Well, it looks younger.
The Heart is a Lonely Hunter, best-selling novel by Carson McCullers, first published in what year, Pinkman said?
1921.
Fritz.
He said, I have no idea, 1910.
You are correct, because it was 1940.
So,
nice.
Pinkman gets the point, and Fritz gives up his time edge.
Six to go. Carson, Kit Carson is an iconic American frontiersman who died in what year, Pinkman said?
1891.
Fritz.
1895. 1868. Oh, Pinkman again gets the point. He's up 4-2.
Johnny Carson retires as host of The Tonight Show in what year, Pinkman says?
1979.
And Fritz.
1994.
1992.
Fritz gets the point.
Here's Johnny. The movie called The Shining, starring Jack Nicholson, released in what year, Pinkman says?
77.
Fritz.
75. Oh, wait, I want to go back and change it to 80, even though I can't.
Can't do it.
Right.
The answer, 1980.
Oh,
Fritz.
Fritz gets a point.
Stephen King
Pinkman
wrote The Shining. How old?
Oh, yeah, Pinkman gets a point.
Pinkman gets it. Yeah. Stephen King wrote The Shining. How old is King? Pinkman said.
73.
Fritz.
65.
71.
Ooh, Pinkman again.
Johnny Cash was worth $60 million when he died in what year? Pinkman said?
They both said 2003.
Both of them are correct. 2003.
Oh, my goodness.
Air 5, Fritz.
One, two, Air 5.
5. And it's 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 5 to 8. Oh, man.
It comes down to this.
Get it within 25.
Time, if 1980, Fritz, if you said 1980, we'd have a tie game right now.
Get it within 25. Right. You went outright. If Johnny Cash was a crow in Kingsland, Arkansas, his place of birth, you would have to fly how many miles to reach Little Rock? Pinkman said.
81, Jim.
Fritz said.
50, Jim.
The answer? Johnny Cash in Kingsland, Arkansas would have to flap his wings in order to reach Little Rock. Would have to fly a total of 72 miles.
Oh, that means... Well, they're both within 25, but Pinkman is closer, so Pinkman wins the game.
Congratulations, and... Chris picked Fritz, didn't he?
He picked Fritz, so Chris loses.
Oh, I'm sorry, Fritz. 24 hours of bad luck starts for you right now.
Remember, close only counts in horseshoes, hand grenades.
Too bad Fritz didn't know stuff.
To the pin. Pin, pin.
So
pin.
Then he goes back to change his answer to the right, would have been the right answer, but he also lost by 9/10 of a second as well if it came down to time.
Oh.
What a time to be alive.
Fritz is not having a good day. Almost an awful day, I would say.
Well, on this day, November 14th.
14th?
Jeez, Jim.
It happens.
Yeah, I know. Have you heard of the Trumpy Bear?
Yes.
Have you? Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Have you seen it?
Death in Texas did a story on it. It's weird.
The commercial is nuts.
Yeah.
When I saw the commercial, I said, this is a fake commercial, right? Have you seen it, Jack?
No, I have not.
I'll show him during the break.
It's hilarious.
Did Fritz make this commercial?
No, it's a real...
Crab Newberg did.
It's Trumpy Bear. And it's a stuffed bear, right?
Correct.
That has a Donald Trump appearance to it.
Yeah, it's got the comb over and everything.
They got one guy, I'm a former Marine. He's driving a big Harley or whatever. And he's got the Trumpy bear, you know, behind the windshield on his big Harley. Something that he says, I never go anywhere without my Trumpy bear. And he's like, dude, really? Seriously?
I don't go anywhere without my Trumpy bear?
Yeah, but he didn't say it that way. He says it like, dude, he says, I'm a former Marine. I don't go anywhere without my Trumpy bear, my bike.
He was very confident about it.
Oh, yeah. Confident, okay.
We got to find it.
Oh, we'll find it, all
Super
right.
Super Plus American Grizzly. Trumpy Bear was born June 14th, Flag Day. Just find the secret zipper and pull out the American flag-themed blanket. Show your patriotism and proudly display Trumpy on any American holiday.
God bless America and God bless Trumpy Bear.
American industry once ruled the world, and now we're back on track again. Thank you, Trumpy Bear.
Trumpy Bear sits proudly at the front of the motorcycle and loves to cruise with his brother.
I'm a former Marine, and I'm proud to have Trumpy Bear ride by my side. Once a Marine, always a Marine.
When I saw Trumpy Bear, I knew I had to have him. He's a fighter just like me.
Some firehouses have Dalmatians. We have Trumpy Bear.
I've been in law enforcement for over 4 years. And I love my Trumpy Bear. Trumpy Bear always has my back. When I go on patrol, I'm rolling with Trumpy Bear.
I'm a small business owner, and business is great again. Thank you, Trumpy Bear.
It's got to be a fake.
It's got to
be fake.
Well,
you think that, but it aired on Fox News.
And I guess there's a zipper on his hiney end, and you unzip it, and you pull out an American flag.
Damn right.
An American flag-themed blanket.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, so it can hit the ground, and you won't be disgracing the country.
It's a joke. I mean, The Onion or somebody's pushing this, right?
Two payments in 1995, Jim. Man. And it comes with a certificate of authenticity.
I don't know. I think I need to get one.
Oh, and then they have a Trumpy Bear golf head cover.
That can't be. It can't be.
I
thought you could. Well, I don't know.
Do you like it?
No, I don't want
you
a
don't
Trumpy
want it.
Bear. I just think it. I think
so
it's
when it comes
silly.
To retirement gift ideas, Trumpy Bear is
Someone's
off the list.
Got no, a birthday coming up.
Trumpy Bear.
I'm Jim Phillips, former talk show host in Orlando, Florida.
Does anyone else think it's weird that you have to literally pull it out of his ass to get the flag out?
I wouldn't think of retirement without my Trumpy Bear.
I guess not.
It's the Phillips File on Real Radio 104.1.
Spanning the World Wide Web to bring you the constant variety of sound, the thrill of victory.
The policeman isn't there to create disorder.
And the agony of defeat.
The policeman is there to preserve disorder.
The sound of human drama captured in a world where everything is recorded. It's time to hear what's in Jack's audio file.
Yeah, and just a reminder, the Phillips File last live show is next Tuesday. A Phillips File tribute show is planned for Wednesday, best of next Thursday and Friday. Then the Jim Colbert Show debuts Monday, November 26th at 3, so I can finally say...
That's all, folks.
Let's hear what's in Jack's audio file. He's got the giggles for some reason.
Well, Jim, so we're going to start with some serious news. So, giggles out the door. Right. And we talk about the California wildfires. Still a problem over there in the Golden State. Here's Chief Honia talking about the fires plaguing his region.
We are going to publish that list once we get it completed. And when we do, we're going to ask members of the public to look at the list to determine whether or not they are on it.
So, long list of missing people. We know fatalities are up in the upper 40s now, but there's many more than that missing. So they want to publish a list so you can, if you are a resident or someone in that area, you can see if you're on the list, and if so, you can report in safe. Or
why would anyone
alive.
Want to live in that state? I mean, it's a beautiful state. Some of the weather is gorgeous, but it burns up. There are mudslides, earthquakes. I mean,
it's very dry out there.
Well, it might be considered worse
Northern
here.
California is a little bit wetter.
It could be worse in Florida. We have hurricanes and Republicans.
Yeah, but
and alligators.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, but an alligator's not going to eat your house.
No. No, that is true.
All right.
That if you're in these evacuated areas when you shouldn't be, and you are violating the law or taking advantage of these poor citizens are displaced, we're going to stop you, we're going to investigate, and we're going to take you to jail.
Take you to jail. So problem with looting in the area at any time where there are mass evacuations in a community. So we had a text earlier where we were talking about the lack of coverage for the California wildfires as these 24-hour news networks focus on politics.
The Weather Channel doing it?
No, but the Panhandle, someone texted and said, you know, they were just up there recently, and it looks like the hurricane hit just 2 days ago. Yeah. It's still just devastated, but that's really, you know, back page news now.
President gone to California yet?
He's not going anywhere.
Sorry, if he can't make it to Arlington National Cemetery, 2 miles away from the White House, to lay a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, he's not going to California anytime soon. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, okay, that went nowhere.
I mean, what are you going to do? He can't, you know, you can't make him do these things.
No, but these are things you should do. You're the president of the United States. You're the president of all people. There are people suffering in California. Yeah. I guess you don't want to get in the way, but you can certainly go to Arlington National Cemetery on Veterans Day, like all previous presidents since John F. Kennedy.
It would have been great, sure. Yeah.
And there are things you should be called out for. However, with the nature of politics today, it's defend at all costs. Regardless of what he does.
Yeah, I don't see how you score any points by, hey, boy, he didn't go to Arlington National Cemetery. He's my man.
He's not kowtowing to those elitists.
Yeah, I'll show those military types.
That's a hard sell.
Well, Jim, speaking of Donald Trump, we have one of his men. Ohio Attorney General Mike DeWine just recently won the governor's race in Ohio. He was a Trump guy and backed by the president. Here he is in his current job as Attorney General talking about a murder charge in 2016 killings. Okay, so a family was killed back in 2016, and they finally made the arrest charging another family with the murder. This is insane.
It's crazy.
Four members of the Wagner family, a husband, a wife, their two adult sons, are all now facing numerous charges, including 8 counts of aggravated murder each.
So it's basically over a custody issue, a child custody issue, but they killed 8 members of this family.
These 4 individuals are now in custody for allegedly committing this heartless, ruthless, cold-blooded murder.
Oof. Yeah, they said they planned it for months in advance.
Yeah.
And then they fled to Alaska. And it was a while ago, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, 2016. Mm. So members of the two families, they had a child together. And so there was a custody dispute. But also, the girl at the time, the guy was 20, the girl was 15.
All 8 victims were killed in cold blood. They were shot in their own homes. They were brutally and viciously executed.
That's our kin.
Yeah.
Well, Ken,
the surviving member was the young baby who's now 5 years old.
We believe that the Wagners conspired together to develop an elaborate plan to kill the 8 victims under the cover of darkness and then carefully cover up their tracks.
Man, sick stuff. That's a Dateline episode. That's a two-hour Dateline.
Yeah, I'm not watching Dateline anymore. I'm not quite sure why. More into Seinfeld now.
Production's really just gone.
I'm just looking for laughs, and you're not getting a laugh out of Dateline.
No, you're not. And yeah, I think it's that balance. You're looking for a release where, you know, when things don't seem as dire in real life, then you can kind of delve into the dark side and watch those murder shows.
Yeah, not watching them anymore.
You should get into that. You want it like a dark podcast. You should go to realradio.fm and podcast, click on Fort Fritz.
I've heard a lot about it. It's supposed to be excellent.
It's very dark.
It's not, a lot of murder.
It's scary every now and then.
I will say.
I'm going to listen to that and say, you know, what am I going to do? After 20 minutes, say this is stupid? Come on, be honest.
No, I don't think so.
You know me well enough.
On a scale of 1 to 10.
Pinkman's thinking about it.
The production level on a scale of 1 to 10.
Yeah.
I think you would appreciate that.
Probably about an 11.
Is it really?
Yeah.
It is really good.
What's it called again?
Fort Fritz. Takes me hours to produce each episode.
No one cares about behind the scenes. Right.
Again, yeah, you just settle down over there.
You're losing us.
Yeah.
Just tell us about Make Funny Funny Man.
Yeah.
So what do? You lay down the voice tracks and then you find the sound effects and mix it in?
Yeah, we record for about 2 hours and then, you know, when I have the time, I go back and just edit. Just
for about 24 hours.
Chop, chop, chop. Yeah, about 8 hours. It's like 8 hours per episode.
You do that at home?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you show me how to do that?
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
I'm looking for work.
Jim Phillips, podcast editor.
Drew Garabo in Tampa today. He's like, I got 50 years experience, you know, I could I can answer phones.
Jim, you like to read books. Chances are you might do a little more reading. We have a new suggestion for you.
What's that?
Someone's memoir being released. Here is Oprah talking about it.
You know, I have to say that from the first page of this book until the last, you did it. You brought it. You opened yourself up. You allowed us to see in.
Who do you think it is?
It's Michelle Obama.
Correct.
Points.
Yes.
Yeah. Come on. I can't wait.
Becoming is the name of the memoir. It's Michelle Obama's book, and that was Oprah. Okay, so let's see. Let's do a little more of the guess who said it. See if you can tell me who this is.
I'd like to do a lot of different things, and I've been fortunate to get to do them at different times in my career. It just seemed like I've never really been happy just being one thing.
That's easy.
And so with all the things I've been fortunate to do, here I am.
That is still Billy funny. Crystal. He was honored with the Friars Club Entertainment Icon Award.
Hey, he's a funny guy.
All right, well, this isn't a funny guy. However, I'll play this clip. You tell me who this is.
All right.
I felt terrible. I was scared, and I just...
Oh, that's Monica Lewinsky.
Son of a bitch.
And this afraid of what this was going to do to my family.
That is Monica Lewinsky.
I saw the clip earlier.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it just sounds like a crying woman.
She opens up how she felt before the scandal broke. Here's a little more of Monica with a little more of the sad music behind her.
You know, I still was in love with Bill at the time. So I felt really responsible.
There you go. New interview with Monica Lewinsky.
He's a predator. He used his power.
He did. Jim.
I mean, you know, you got two adults, consenting adults, I suppose, but at the same time. You know, just think of the situation of the president of the United States and a naive, you know, intern or whatever the hell she was. He's never had the courage to say, you know, to apologize for anything that he was involved in that form or fashion.
Yeah, that's a.
And many of us on that side of the political aisle gave him a pass. Shame on me.
Jim.
You want to hear that too often.
The CDC reporting 252 cases this year from 27 states of AFM.
Yeah.
This is what Fritz was talking about earlier, acute flaccid myelitis. Yeah. And yeah, it's affecting kids and it's paralyzing kids, and parents are pretty annoyed. Feeling that the CDC is not doing enough when it comes to AFM.
Wake up and do your job. Tell us what you're hiding.
Oh, come on.
Tell us what you're hiding.
Yeah, doctors.
Yeah.
Yeah, stupid doctors. And
yeah, with your lab coat.
Researchers.
Yeah.
Who do they think they are?
Yeah. This just popped up, 6 months ago, 3 months ago?
Yeah, figure it out, science man.
You don't have the answers yet, you dumb dummies.
It starts off as a fever and routine respiratory symptoms. In some cases, up to 10 days later, paralysis can set in. The cause remains a mystery, but officials are investigating possible connections to an enterovirus or rhinoviruses.
Why is everything a conspiracy, it seems, for certain people?
Yeah.
Everything's a damn conspiracy. What are you hiding? It's like, dude, we're not hiding. We're just trying. We're working on it.
We're trying our best.
What do you...
We're government employees.
We're just
trying to do
it. How long did it take to come up with a polio vaccine?
Yeah.
I mean, how long did it come, you know, where you could, what were they, beta blockers or whatever, to prevent AIDS from developing after someone is HIV positive. Come on, what are you doing? What do you think we're doing around here?
Here's Dr. Ann Schuchat, Principal Deputy Director of the CDC.
The reporting of the disease has a lot of steps, so there may be a lag. We are working 24/7 to increase recognition, to get the reporting into the system. Every one of these episodes is difficult, and the deaths are really tragic.
What do you think she was going to say? Well, here's what we're hiding.
Yeah.
You asked, so here we...
Well, my back's up against the wall, but yeah. I'm just going to come right out.
All right. Now, there is you're a pressing conspiracy. The point here. Okay.
Jim, I know with the passing this week of Stan Lee, you were concerned that you were not going to get any more Stan Lee superheroes. However, rest assured, his daughter is saying that she and her dad created a new hero named Dirt Man.
What?
Nice. We have been working on a character called Dirt Man. The last little angel that we've got tucked away is Dirt Man. And I said, Daddy, please, no clatter, no steel, no any of that. Let's get down and dirty. Let's do what's going on and about love. Let's do Dirt Man. And it is very interesting. It's not over yet. We still have a little trickery.
That's the daughter.
That's the daughter.
That's
sounds
the
like
daughter.
The actor from Hairspray. What was his name?
Harvey Firestein.
Who? I don't, I three. Heard two, one, yeah. two, three.
John Travolta.
John Travolta was in Hairspray?
Yes, the
yes,
film.
He was. He was absolutely terrific.
That's Harvey Firestein.
It was. Oh my God.
That's pretty good.
I said, Dad, we got to get to it. You got to create Dirt Man.
Jim.
It's very dirty.
I know Pinkman is feverishly working on getting Conan O'Brien scheduled yes. on these last few episodes of The Phillips File. However, we still have the ongoing 2018 contest for Who Said It Best.
Yes.
This is when we take clips from the monologues of the late night talk show hosts. When they hit the same subject, we play three clips together. You get to decide who said it best, and the person with the most points at the end of the year will be a guest on the show once Pinkman secures the interview.
That's correct.
Okay, I believe Jimmy Fallon's in the lead. Or no, yeah, Jimmy Fallon's in the lead. But here we go, Jim. The topic here is rumors that Trump wants to fire John Kelly.
Yeah.
Take a listen.
I heard that President Trump wants to fire his chief of staff, John Kelly. Kelly was shocked. He was like, wait, I haven't already been fired? I mean, what?
Trump's chief of staff, John Kelly, is also rumored to be on the way out. The president's been rumored to want to fire him for a while. The problem is he's too chicken to fire people face to face, and John Kelly is the guy who does it for him. So now Trump has to figure out a way to get John Kelly to fire himself. I got it.
There's more reports of trouble from inside the Trump White House. According to multiple sources, Donald Trump's chief of staff, John Kelly, may soon be fired because of repeated clashes with Melania Trump. It's gotten so bad. Yeah, it's gotten so bad. Either John Kelly or Melania will have to leave the White House. It's true. Melania told Trump point blank. She said, it's either him or me. Please let it be me. Please let it be me. Please let it be me.
All right, Jim, who do you got?
Oh, it's a very very special Who Said It Best, because I think there's a better chance we can get him on. So I'm giving a special bonus points to James Corden.
Ooh.
50 points go to James Corden.
Oh, he may be the winner this
what?
Year.
He may very well be the winner.
Get to work on it, Pinkman.
I'll get him through Tom Cruise.
Why, are they like best buddies?
Yeah,
something?
Bro. They skydive.
You saw the bit? You see the bit where they...
It was pretty good.
See the bit?
No, I'm thinking. Wait, is that the one where they go through all of his movies or no?
Yes, that's one of them.
Okay, what? Yes.
I thought that was Tom Hanks.
And then they did the one on the boat and the Tom's cruise on the River Thames.
Yeah, that was Thames.
Thames.
No, it's Thames.
It's Thames.
Yeah, it looks like Thames, but it's Thames.
The Mess.
Thames.
What'd you say?
The Mess.
The Mess.
Thames.
The River Thames.
Thanos. The River Thames.
That's your audio file?
By the way, Trumpy Bear, check that out. Are we going to post that commercial? I guess we shouldn't.
Yeah.
I don't want to get, well.
No, you're going to sell more Trumpy Bears.
Yeah, exactly. Why give them free advertising?
Yeah,
I mean,
screw them.
Yeah, Trumpy, stupid. I'm a Marine. I wouldn't go anywhere without my Trumpy Bear. Yeah, show up to the next meeting at the Hell's Angels with that dang thing on your windshield. It's the Phillips File on Real Radio 104.1. Check up the news. Here's Big Daddy.
Thank you, Big Jim Weasel. Some beds slept in by Oprah, Bill Clinton, and Barack Obama are now up for auction. Oh. Never mind, the Barack Obama bed has been sold to an anonymous buyer that wants to have hookers pee on it. Next, a student in England is speaking out against a strange rule enforced by his school that bans students from drinking water during class. The school says it's for health and safety reasons. Geez. What are they talking about? Finally, a mom is being criticized for breastfeeding her 9-year-old. Sure. The child may be nourished, but that social stunting can't be fixed. Headlines were brought to you by the Wine and Craft Beer Stroll at Crane's Roost Park in Altamont Springs. End transmission.
That's right, and one of the beers featured there will be the Mango Kathy from Ormond Brewing Company in our very own Ormond Beach, Florida. It's a mango IPA. Very delicious, very smooth, and I think you guys will enjoy it. So you go out this weekend, join iHeartRadio for the Wine and Craft Beer Stroll at Crane's Roost Park. Of course, in Altamont Springs, that's happening Saturday and Sunday at Crane's Roost Park. And Whole Foods will be providing food for that event. They brought us some awesome Thanksgiving food today, and you can get your whole holiday meal for Thanksgiving or Christmas, whatever you celebrate, from Whole Foods. Meals, sides, entrees, desserts, appetizers, and platters all can be purchased online, in-store, or by the phone. You can go to WholeFoodsMarket.com or call 1-844-936-2428 to order your meal today.
You're listening to The Phillips File on Real Radio 104.1.
Real Radio
104.1. Yes.
Plastic boots. I thought the line was massive boobs.
What is it? I don't know, but he said cocaine eyes immediately after.
There we go. Phillips file for a Wednesday later in the program. Five minute professor, of course.
Yep.
Shot doctor casting call. Last casting call for the Phillips file.
Oh, wow.
How long has Shot Doctor been on the program? Because I always think it's about a year and a half.
I think it's at least 4 years.
Casting call has been over 4 years.
And so we were doing it before you started?
You started shortly before I got here, and then I quickly took over that responsibility. And now I think Shot Doctor is my grandpa.
That's right, because Jenna used to be in the scenes.
Time flies. 51 now dead in these fires in California. Ooh. Most of them in the Northern California fires. And I think a lot of these people, many of these people were in their 80s and 90s.
Oh, geez.
I mean, it's just so sad, especially when you think about, I mean, they have no ability to escape. They have no ability to get out of there, right? They just probably not even a chance to get out of their homes, God bless them. Scary stuff.
It's awesome.
I have friends in Southern California. They say a fire's about 20 miles away, but they're nervous. And I texted them, you know, don't do the fire, don't do the garden hose thing, all right? Just, you know. I see people, I guess maybe some people have been able to save their property, I don't know, but it seems to me that a garden hose is just not going to do you much good. You got flames that are 50 feet tall,
yeah,
and you're spraying it with a garden hose. Number one, the fire's going to sever your hose. And as soon as the water, you know, at 75 degrees, comes out of the spout and hits the fire, it's not, it's steam.
Man. I'd still, you know, what are you going to do?
You
save your home? You're there, the water's running, you're going to wet down your roof.
It's not going to do anything. You know,
yeah, it does.
No, when a hot ember is 500 degrees or something, it's going to burn through your roof. Your house is going to catch on fire. If you have a fire that's 1,500 degrees, right?
Okay.
Okay, and you have an ember, you know, coming off of that fire at how many degrees?
So embers really could be any size. It could be like a tiny little thing blowing in the wind.
Yeah, or, you know,
Or a kind of a chunk.
Yeah, or a tree that's on fire.
Well, yeah, that's more of an ember. That's a big ember.
Yeah, that's not really an ember.
That would go right through your roof.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden you have dozens of those things falling on your roof. You're not going to be able to put those out, are you?
I would imagine not.
If you could, everybody would be there with a garden hose.
Yeah, saying easy peasy. Dust in their hands. I got water. I got a hose.
Anyway.
Then again, just grab your photos, grab your insurance paperwork, grab your family.
Yeah, what would you grab first?
The family. Get them in the car and get out.
I meant after that.
Yeah, you should have a fireproof box with all your documents. Right. Certainly your grab insurance. That. You know, anything at birth certificates and social security, and whatever, that kind of information. And you get everybody, and you get out of there first, you know, or just get out of there anyway.
Now, what about the photos? You have photo albums. Whatever you don't have scanned, if you don't have an electronic, you have a backup hard drive on your computer, grab the backup hard drive.
I got my memories, you know. Somebody said, look, you got to get leaving, you got to leave now. Well, if you can hold on for 5 minutes because I want to gather up my photos.
Takes you 5 minutes to find your photo album.
Well, I love a photo album. My favorite photos are out, so I got to look at them. I don't look. When's the last time you looked through a photo album?
And I was looking for something.
Yeah, but you were, what, like a $5 bill you had hidden away?
Yeah, I wanted to make it flat again.
Yeah, a lotto ticket.
It's all crumpled. It's tough because my wife, she'll get a check from a gig, she puts it in her purse kind of willy-nilly. And then she pulls it out, it's all crumpled up. But when you do electronic banking, you have to take a picture of it. So when you're taking a picture of a check and it's crumpled up, you're not really getting a nice picture of it. So I have to put them in books to flatten them out before I can make the deposits.
Get iron them.
Today, I waited a day to deposit a check because I was making a flat in a book. The book
you sprinkle it with water? Well, you
I did
do
not.
That with a check.
I
the little, ink would bleed and no, then you'd be screwed.
I use sizing.
So you can take a photo of a check and do what?
Oh, bro, it's a whole new world out there.
I forgot how long it took us to get you to do.
Remember
debit
when we went
card.
To Home Depot that one time?
Yep. My original.
I was scared to death to use one of the, what do you call it?
Self-checkout?
Yeah, exactly. So, oh, there's a And Jack had to hold my hand, and I didn't even know what we bought. Some washers or a 2x4?
I think it was some metal rods. you were doing the metalworking. But I was videotaping it at the time because I was doing Jack's video blogs on the website. That was Jim using his debit card at the self-checkout.
I can use the debit card. I can use the, you know, the self-checkout stuff. I don't know anything about scanning a check, but I don't get any checks per se.
Yeah.
So I'm not doing any gigs lately.
So, yeah, well, maybe you'll be doing more independent contract work, you know, in your retirement and getting, Jim the Angry Clown. You know,
show
work
up for
on the
birthday party.
Yeah, they give you a check. And so with whatever bank account you have, chances are you can make a deposit and you take a picture of the front, take a picture of the back and send it in. Then you get to keep that check. That's kind of like your receipt for what you deposited. Yeah, it's all done electronically.
It's a brave new world. Here's Beth. Hello, Beth.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, Beth.
Somebody told me another name of a motel back in the 60s, the Polaris Motel.
Yeah, I got that written down. So we had that before. I can't remember where, but you're absolutely, the Polaris. So we got Polaris, Mousetrap. What was the one you taught? What inn? The Wakula Inn?
The Wakula.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, I didn't know if you had that one, and I talked to somebody the other day, and they gave me that name. So. Trying to help you get your book written.
Well, I got a lot of things on my on the burner, so to speak.
Yeah. You're going to go on a brand new adventure.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and it'll be fun.
The two of you should meet and go fishing in Mosquito Lagoon.
I don't think so.
No.
Well, what's wrong? I'm bad company now?
No.
Oh, that's what you're doing. I don't think so.
No. She's laughing at you.
Who would want to go fishing with him?
I'm not up in Titusville. And I thought that's where Mosquito Lagoon was.
You're in Merritt Island, right? That's spitting distance from Titusville.
We could row up there, Beth.
No, okay. Well, we got a sailboat. You want to sail up there?
You have a sailboat? Cool.
Yeah.
What kind of sailboat?
I don't know. It's more sailboat. It's a,
How big is it?
It's a, well, I mean, it's got a little cabin inside of it. And
yeah, when's the last time you went sailing?
Never.
Oh, jeez.
Come on.
Okay, well, sure, Mark feels good about that.
Well, he hadn't, he's been out in it once or twice, but I just, you know.
What did you, did he build it or did he buy it from somebody?
No, he bought it from somebody and he's had, like you, he has to redo everything because yeah, it's not up to his specs.
Yeah, they get all moldy and nasty. And is it in the water or is it sitting up on a trailer?
It's on a trailer in the driveway.
Yeah, you don't sound too excited about it.
I'm not because I did sailing years ago and got hit upside the head by the boom. When somebody didn't tell me, duck, we're coming around.
Oh, that's the worst.
Bam. And I just got waylaid, and I was like, I don't think sailing is for me.
You know? you gotta use the the skipper of the sailboat has to let everybody know.
Yeah.
Ready about?
We're coming around.
Yeah, ready about?
And nobody said it. Huh?
You go ready about, hard to lee.
Yep, and it was like... Bam! You know, I'm glad I didn't fall over, but I think I was 16 or 17. And I said, I think sailing just isn't for me. I'd rather water.
All right, we'll go sailing sometime. Let me get retired. I'll get a sailboat. We'll go sailing. All right, Beth. It's the Phillips File on Real Radio 104.1.
Your chance to win $1,000 is just minutes away on Real Radio 104.1. From.
When's the last time we played it?
February 20th, 2018.
Oh, my goodness. Here's Buddy on Real Radio. Go ahead, Buddy.
Yes, Jim. How's it going today?
Fine, thank you.
Lots of luck in the future for sure.
Thank you very much.
A long time, first time caller.
Thank you.
Fighting these fires with a hose just does not make any sense to anybody.
No.
These fires are 100 feet over the trees. But Clay just wanted to bend down and kiss his feet, would wipe you out.
Yeah, I see people, they're wetting down the roofs of their house, and you're like, come on, dude, you know, an ember at 800 degrees or, you know, landing on your roof is going to burn right through your roof. You know, you're not going to...
Well, even the pressure from a hose, I mean, how much pressure could you possibly have? You know, if you're on a pump, you've got 100 pounds. That's not going to fight anything.
Yeah, and if you got water, I'm not a physicist. I guess you'd be a physicist or something. But, you know, water coming out at 75 degrees, let's say, going up against a 1,500-degree fire, you know, I mean, it's steam. You know, it's going to come 3 feet out of the nozzle.
The hose would melt.
Exactly.
Never mind the water. I mean, the hose would melt.
Yeah, well, God bless them all. I mean, it's a horrific experience.
You're absolutely right. It's unbelievable.
It's a big, big story, too. And unfortunately, the three major news, cable news networks, they're so focused on this, on Donald Trump, you know, that you see, they spend a couple of minutes with, you know, this is a national tragedy, what's going on in California. And they give a short shrift, so to speak, because they got a report on, you know, Melania Trump's got a bug up her butt about some assistant to John Bolton. Who gives a crap?
Well, the news will do what it wants.
All right, you got it. All right, thank you, sir. I appreciate it. See you later. Bye.
So that's that.
What are you going to do?
I don't know.
Can you do anything, really?
No.
You know, Donald's going to do what Donald's going to do.
You did it.
That's what Donald's going to done.
All the major newspapers, and I mean, they're all reporting he's in a foul, foul mood.
He looked fine. I just saw him on TV.
Yeah. Because he lost.
He lost? What do you mean?
He lost the House of Representatives.
Okay.
You know, it's just kind of, he's just kind of figuring out now that, oh, really? I think he thought that the Senate was bigger.
Well, they have more power.
They refer to it as the upper chamber.
Yeah,
it's larger. It was bigger, so it's more important.
Duh.
It's the House of Representatives that writes the checks. It's the House of Representatives that has the power over how much money is appropriated, not the Senate.
Do you think he watches documentaries?
No.
You don't think so?
No. I don't think, I personally think he has no knowledge of history.
Not an inquisitive nature?
No, not at all.
He's not intellectually curious?
No, I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think he was brought up that way. I think he was brought up that way to cheat as many people as he could, just like his old man did. And, you know, he's a guy, like I say, born on third base and thought he hit a triple.
I love that line.
I do, too. That's why I like to use it every so often. Hello, George.
Okay, here's the thing, man.
Oh, boy.
This is what I tell the people.
There we go.
If you make one application in any luxury or hotel, you can call it Regent, Intercontinental, Ritz-Carlton. You make one application. You do the paperwork.
Yeah.
Even if it's minimum wage, if that company refuses to pay you, you can sue them. That's a fact. You can sue them and get a million times that amount of minimum wage.
Well, what's minimum wage now in Florida?
Can be $7, $8.
Well, let's say
but you can still sue them if you want. That's according to the contract. It's already in the paper.
What happened?
That's what I'm
saying. Did they reject your application?
That's why. No, I'm saying you got to do it. You
I thought you were a convicted felon. I wouldn't hire you either. Well, maybe I
would. No, they hire felons.
I hire you at the car wash. I don't know who they're hiring now. Come on, ladies. Come on. What are you talking about? It just got rejected. Dude, you're the guy that admitted that you took a machete to somebody. I'm sorry, I'm not going to hire you either.
Yeah, that's it.
Is a convicted
felony.
If you said,
look, I got convicted of passing some bad checks. All right, I might give you a pass. You know, I was convicted. I had a few bags of weed on me. And, convicted felon. And sir, what's your story? Yeah, well, I went after a guy with a machete.
Oh, boy.
So I could, chop his head off. I'm sorry, we're just going to have to reject your application.
Yeah. Number one, I appreciate the honesty. Number two, I'm not hiring you.
You frighten me, sir.
You can talk to me, George. He's still talking.
Public warehouse.
Where do you come from?
I put him on hold. George, just can't. I don't want you to mention any places, all right? Mm. You can mention the problem that you're seeing. Or facing, but you can't mention any places. All right, you know that I can't allow that.
Yeah, but some places they hire felons. You know that.
Oh yeah, we got a few around here.
Yeah, sure.
We got a few in this room.
Yeah, they're all over the place.
Felons can be any type of charge. So what I'm saying, there's some hotels they do hire felons.
Yeah,
and
But they don't have to hire you. Who says they have
they
to
hire?
Well, just because
they have felons working for them already. Doesn't have to be a felon. Is a felon.
Yeah, no,
doesn't
they
have to be me. They already have felons working with them.
What I'm saying is, it's a right to work state. They can hire you because they don't like your haircut. They can refuse to hire you because they don't like where you part your hair.
But there's felons already working for them.
No, I know that, but that doesn't mean another felon says, "Hey, you have felons working here, so you have to hire me."
Well, if they hire me or not, you don't know that. That's what I'm saying. I mean, I didn't even make the application, so you cannot just predict the future.
I'm not talking about you. I'm not talking about you. But, I mean, if you go in there and they say, all right, George, you've admitted you've been very honest with this. You've admitted that you're a convicted felon. Then you say, yeah, I served time because I was trying to chop some guy's ear off with a machete.
Well,
why would you be upset if they said, we're not going to hire you?
Well, you don't know that.
Well, you told me that.
You don't know if they're going to hire me. You don't know if they're going to hire me.
Well, maybe they will. I don't know, George. Maybe they say, George, you're just the guy we were looking for. You know, as we were sitting around the
felon. You don't know. I am a felon.
Yeah, we were sitting around the conference table just the other day, and somebody said, can we get a convicted felon in here that attacked somebody with a machete? Come on, what does it take around here?
Also, could we get some coffee?
Yeah, exactly.
I am a felon, but you don't understand if they're going to hire me or not. You don't know that.
No, I have no idea. Are you going to apply?
You cannot just say, oh, George, you make the application tomorrow and they will call the police because they don't like you. You don't know that.
George, just a bit of advice.
You cannot say that.
Okay,
man.
George, just a bit of advice, all right? If you go in and have an
I don't need your advice, man. I know about life. I've been on the shore, man.
So,
I don't need your advice, dude. I'm a grown man.
So, well, I'm just saying, George, if you go in with that kind of attitude during a job interview, they're not going to hire you, dude. I'm telling you right there. And leave the machete in the car. It's the Phillips File on Real Radio 104.1.
Your chance to win a trip to iHeartRadio's sold-out Alter Ego in L.A. is just minutes away on Real Radio 104.1.
And now the Phillips File presents a game that is not about being right or wrong.
Wrong.
It's a game that rewards the lucky.
Hey, everybody, we're all going to get late.
It's a game where you just have to be close.
That's right. You've got that right.
The game is closest to the pin.
Let's go while we're young.
And now, here's your ever-excited host, Jim Phillips.
A conversation with Scott Maxwell. We have 5 minutes. Professor, we've got Shot Doctor all upcoming on the file. First things first, a regular round of closest to the pin. I'm playing against Jesse. Larry is the backup. And what's the prize?
Oh, boy. It's a pair of tickets to see the Orlando Magic take on the New York Knicks this Sunday, November 8th at the 18th at the Amway Center. Orlando Magic games are the perfect way to have fun with your family. So go on out Sunday, November 18th, as the Orlando Magic battle the New York Knicks. It's a family day presented by Olive Garden. There's fun for the whole family, including face painting, caricatures, balloon animals, and more.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Mr. Pinkman. That's a fun time. It's even better when they win. Go Magic.
Go
all right.
Magic.
Here's the deal. We have a category ready to go, sent by Brad, co-producer for All Gaming.
Thanks, Brad.
And
Jesse on line 4 is ready to go.
Hello, Jesse.
Hello.
Ready to play?
I'm ready.
This question is, the category is called double appetizers. All right? It's questions about appetizers, like those served at nice restaurants.
Okay.
Okay? It's all about appetizers, and what's better than appetizers? Double appetizers. Okay, we're going to reset the clock for you. Pinkman, are you writing the answers down?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, this is Jesse. Put her name at the top.
J-E-Z?
That's close enough. And Jesse, we're going to begin in 3, 2, 1. Bada bing! Calamari is a typical Christmas Eve treat, although usually fried. Martha Stewart often has a grilled version. How old is Martha Stewart?
68.
Spicy shrimp is on the Ruth Chris menu, but we are more familiar with the shrimp cocktail, which was supposedly invented in a bar on Boston Harbor in this year.
1894.
Mushrooms stuffed with crab meat sounds good. Reminds me of a side order served at the Krusty Krab. And what year did SpongeBob SquarePants make its debut on TV?
96.
Seared ahi tuna, so good. It's a Hawaiian treat. Thank goodness the state was inducted into the union in this year.
Oh, gosh. 1915.
Cold water lobster tail, lightly fried, tossed in a spicy cream sauce, jalapeno pepper jam drizzle, tangy cucumber salad, the crispy lobster tail. How many pounds of Maine lobster were harvested in 2016 in the millions?
200.
Fine. Good job. Let's put you on hold. Let's bring Jim back in. Fritz, tell Jim to come back in.
Oh, yeah.
Good job.
The year is 1894. I declare this cocktail of sauce and seafood.
Sign here. Hello, Jim.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Category submitted by Brad. He hand-delivered it today. It's called double appetizers. Questions about appetizers.
Questions about appetizers. Brad is finally running out of categories.
Yeah.
Thank you, Brad.
Home stretch, baby.
Thank you very much. I appreciate all your hard work over these years.
Yeah, no more warships.
Let's Down the bottom of the barrel.
He's done a fantastic job. Double appetizers it is. Are you ready to go, Jim?
Appetizer, sure.
In three, two, one. Bada-bing! Calamari is a typical Christmas Eve treat, although usually fried. Martha Stewart often has a grilled version. How old is Martha Stewart?
Martha Stewart is now 71.
Spicy shrimp is on the Ruth Chris menu, but we are more familiar with the shrimp cocktail, which was supposedly invented in a bar on Boston Harbor in this year.
Oh, the shrimp cocktail back in 1803.
Mushrooms stuffed with crab meat sounds good. Reminds me of a side order served at the Krusty Krab. In what year did SpongeBob SquarePants make its TV debut?
1997.
Seared ahi tuna. So good. It's a Hawaiian treat. Thank goodness the state was inducted into the union in this year. Oh,
Jesus. 1961.
Cold water lobster tail, lightly fried, tossed in a spicy cream sauce, jalapeno pepper jam drizzle, tangy cucumber salad, the crispy lobster tail. How many pounds of Maine lobster were harvested in 2016 in the millions?
How many pounds? Oh, well, believe it or not, 653 million pounds.
That's a hefty side order.
More than a half a billion.
Jim, I recorded your time. Jim, I believe you're still at, is it 37 or 38 losses?
Like 38, isn't it?
38 losses. Okay.
This one could get you to 40. Counts for two.
And Jim, I'm adding 5 seconds to your time.
Yeah, that's all right.
That's because, what's the reason today?
He's been a bad boy.
You've been a bad boy, according to Pinkman.
Yeah, tell my wife that means something.
Okay, here we go.
I've been a bad boy.
Hey, so here's the deal.
Yeah.
The category is double appetizers. It's something you have said on the air recently.
That's tomorrow, Brad. Entrees, what are you doing tomorrow?
Double appetizers is something you pointed out that Shot Doctor latched on to and has been discussed on the show. That's what he latched on to.
Okay.
So we're talking about calamari. Calamad. All right? Normally, I like it fried. Martha Stewart offers a grilled version.
How you doing?
What's the age of Martha Stewart? Jesse said.
68.
Damn. Jim.
71.
77. Jim gets a point.
Wow, she's 77?
She was in jail for about 5 months for her insider trading.
Good, right? I used to have a real thing for her.
Yes, you did.
Well before I met Catherine.
Uh-huh. She's an older woman for you. So, how about spicy shrimp? Shrimp cocktail. Supposedly invented in a bar in Boston Harbor.
Shrimp cocktail.
Sign it. What year?
Really? I have no idea.
Jesse said.
1894.
Damn, Jesse.
Jim.
1803.
How about Jim, your favorite movie?
1941.
1941 is right. Wow. However, Jesse gets that point. It's tie game. So.
Come on, Brad.
Mushrooms stuffed with crab meat, something you might find at the Krusty Krab. What year did SpongeBob SquarePants make its debut on television? Jesse said.
1996.
Jim said.
1997.
The answer, 1999. Jim gets a point. He's up 2-1.
Damn.
2 to go, right?
I thought for sure she had that.
Well, thanks for all your support.
I'm just saying, I thought it was 96.
Thank you.
Seared ahi tuna.
Yeah. What about it?
It's a Hawaiian treat, Jim.
Oh, yeah, brother.
Mm-hmm. Thank goodness the state was inducted into the union in this year.
I should know this. I don't.
It came here 6 months before Alaska. What year? Jesse said.
1915.
Oh, boy. Jim.
1961.
1959. Jim is closer. Oh. Jim leads 3-1.
Oh, Jesse.
All Jesse needs to do is get this on the money. And Jim.
Yeah.
You don't want to go to time. So let's talk about Maine lobster.
Maine lobster.
How many million pounds were harvested in 2016?
Jesse, I've got a proposition for you.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Even if I'm closer.
Well, remember, we have a backup player.
Never mind. I withdraw the proposition.
Okay.
Sorry, Jesse.
Here we go. $533 million worth of lobster, but how many pounds in 2016 harvested? Jesse said
200 million.
Jim.
653 million.
Because of time, this question will determine our winner. The answer, 133 million. Jesse's closer, but Jim wins the game.
I'm sorry, Jesse. I'm sorry. I have to win. It's in my blood.
I'm the champion. I am the greatest. I will whoop them. I can't lose.
Remember, close only counts in horseshoes, hand grenades.
You would have lost by a second.
Three more to go.
Closest to the pin.
I win.
Yes.
Is there no one on this planet to even challenge me?
You would have lost by 1 second if it went to time.
Back. 1 second, bro.
Doesn't matter.
No, you made it. Today, still at 38 losses.
Yeah, that lobster, that's one of the biggest ripoffs in the culinary industry. That and razor blades. Now, I'm not suggesting eat razor blades, but, you know.
Why is that?
Look at the clock. Pay, you know. sorry. It's the Phillips File on Real Radio 104.1. Check of the news. Here's Big Daddy.
Jim Weasel. Atlanta police are now looking for an emu that's on the loose. That emu is probably running around wearing scarves and writing for cable TV shows now. Next, a man in England claims he got his dream body by eating nothing but McDonald's. Take that, Morgan Spurlock. Supersize this, nerd. Finally, police are now looking for a Florida man that snuck into a restaurant to eat ramen and play bongos in the nude. Headlines were brought to you by WeAreNotTheBanks.com. End transmission.
Oh, yeah, WeAreNotTheBanks.com. If you're in the market for a home and you need to find a way to pay for it, unless you got, like, just big barrels of cash at home and you're going to do that, most of the rest of us have to go to a bank or a lender. Here's the deal. This is why you go to a lender. We are not the banks. They are a direct lender. Their mortgages made easy. They're better than the banks. Brad Siebert and his team, all they do are mortgages. They focus on every step of the process, tell you what you're going to need, get you through the process as quickly as they can, and close in 30 days in most cases. A direct lender, their mortgages made easy. They have a certified home buyer program, and if you have good credit, they'll get you a loan with great rates. If you've had some credit problems in your past, they can still work with you. You just put more money down. And if you're military, they specialize in VA loans as well. You want to do a refinance? Brad and his team can help with that as well. For all your mortgage needs, go to their website. It's WeAreNotTheBanks.com.
Coming up next on this Wednesday edition of The Phillips File, a conversation with Scott Maxwell.
From the...
You are listening to The Phillips File.
And have we got news for you?
You better listen.
Get ready on your lonely girl and leave those umbrellas at home.
All right.
It's rising.
Rising.
I'm just getting low.
How low, girl?
According to all sources.
What sources now?
The street's the place to
we better
go.
Hurry up.
My last conversation with Scott Maxwell, who writes the Taking Names column for the Orlando Sentinel. We've been talking every Wednesday at this time for many, many, many years. Many years.
Since 2004.
And every time we begin to introduce Scott Maxwell, he chooses the music.
Yeah.
And I won't have to put up with this anymore. God awful decade of music. Yeah. Anyway, Scott Maxwell is a good friend of the Phillips File, and this will be our last conversation, not personally, but as part of the Phillips File. Please welcome Scott back to the program. I don't know how you could tolerate that music. I just don't get it.
I just feel like, I know for 14 years I haven't been able to make this point, but I have requested It's Raining Men as my theme song precisely zero times. I feel like that's gotten lost in the shuffle over the course of a decade and a half or so. It's fun. I mean, I like it. It's a catchy tune. It's just not actually mine.
It's kind of a toe tapper. I get it. But
yeah, well, right. I'm not arguing that. I'm just arguing that it wasn't my choice. Jim, I hope we're going to do this thing like Thelma and Louise, right?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what we're going to do.
Take it over a cliff?
Yeah.
Oh, spoiler alert.
I tried to kill Jim. I turned in a column, and here's a little spoiler alert. The end of my column tomorrow has a little tribute to you, except I began it with by saying, last... it said... Sorry. Next week is the last for Jim.
Oh, great. Thank you.
My editor said, "What's he? Is he terminal?"
Yeah. You know something he doesn't know? I mean,
yeah.
Come on.
So we added on the air to correct that problem.
Anyway.
Yeah.
All right, let me get down to some of the nitty-gritty. I'm going to see you later tonight. But your column today is essentially the election process and the Sunshine State. It's just, what is it about Florida and elections and tabulating votes? It's just a mess.
We are a mess. I think the one of the things I said in that column was if you gave the state a choice between sunshine and a nuclear holocaust, we'd be 50-50. We just cannot seem to agree on anything. And the reality is that voting is a messy process. People are going to screw up aspects of it every step of the way. I mean, we've seen little ovals that were X'd instead of filled in. I've seen people punch the ovals. So we've seen election supervisors design crappy ballots where you think you're voting for Al Gore and you're casting a vote for Betty Boop. Instead, there's people who aren't supposed to be voting who end up casting votes. People cast provisional votes and they're not counted. This is a minute, altogether, all these little things happen. It's a tiny, tiny, a fraction of a percent. But that percent matters.
Right.
When you have a 50-50 vote, and we are just a nutty-ass enough state that we do that all the time.
You talk about 50-50. I was talking with Catherine the other night, you know, watching some of these political shows. You see the returns come in all over the place, and maybe you could explain it to me. I mean, I know the country is split, but in all these races, it just seems it's 51.5
right.
against 49. I mean, they're so I don't understand statistically how it can be that close in so many races. I mean, I understand the division in the country, but for it to be that close, you would think, all right, he won 62% of the vote. Okay, she won 54% of the vote. But it's always these 51, 49, 50 point whatever to 49 point whatever.
I think I can't answer that one for you.
I don't
think
get
that
it.
Is because they are only showing you the races that are close to begin with. And the reason I say that is look
maybe.
Around Central Florida. There were a slew of races. Val Demings, Stephanie Murphy, Dan Webster, who all got elected by 20 point margins to Congress. And none of those were on TV because they weren't going to be close.
Right.
But you are right that so we tend to focus on the ones that are going to be neck and neck to begin with. But we do have that is not an explanation for our state. That's a statewide result, and both major elections were less than 1%. And this is a state that has traditionally gone, it's gone solidly one way or the other. But when it comes to these state elections, man, the Democrats are just always on the short end of the stick.
Yeah, just when you had 8.1 million votes cast in the state of Florida, and the gubernatorial race is what's the difference, and what's the difference
12,000, in the U.S.? I think.
Yeah, 12,000. I mean, and by the way, let me get on my soapbox a little bit. There's no excuse for not casting a ballot. I mean, you got to get registered and get involved somehow. And by the and something else, I heard somebody on TV the other night. Well, we need to make it easier for young people to vote. Maybe do something where they can vote by phone. And I'm sitting there, and my wife is sitting there, and she says, sometimes, we're just going to ask you that you do the adult thing, all right? Is it asking too much that you get registered and you go to your precinct and vote? Well, I don't want to vote unless I can do it by phone.
I'm prone to agree.
Come on, please.
I do not think there should be obstacles. I believe I think you could make a case for weekend voting.
Of course.
Boost turnout like other countries do. But yes, we're not asking most people to do anything more than they already do four times a day, which is go somewhere.
Yeah, you got people in other countries. They stand in line for a week. Sometimes with getting shot at or in storms, waiting to cast a ballot. And we say, I can't do it by phone. I don't think I can do it at all. What's Rick Scott's problem? I don't get this. He's going to be elected to the United States Senate.
He's a big baby. That's what he is. He's a big baby. That's his problem. Yeah, he's going to win this election. I think he just sort of freaked out when the recount started getting closer. And so then he, you know, grabbed his passy and started running to Fox News to every show that would have him. And he was going, fraud, fraud, there's fraud here. And the weird thing that was going on is even the Fox News host, like Chris Wallace, was like, Governor, first of all, it's your state, dude. You know, if you got some rampant fraud, you should be cracking down on that. But second of all, what evidence do you have?
Right.
He hasn't had anything. So he in effect, seems to have been painting his own victory. So you go figure that out.
I don't get the optics. I could understand, look, we want to make some noise about this. I would just think that Rick Scott, somebody smarter, would say, I got to get somebody out there. I got a press secretary or I've got a lawyer that's going to go out there and make the case. He's got to remember that just about half the state voted against him. You know, you got to carry that into the upper chamber of the Senate as well. You represent all the people of the state of Florida, whether they voted for you or not. And he gets out there and makes all this noise, and he's not good on TV.
No, he's not. He looks like a talking bump on a log. And look at him compared to Ron DeSantis, who I think is really not much of a speaker either. He looks like a statesman because he hadn't said squat. And in fact, he also looks powerful because while all this whining was going on, and he was also just within 1% in the governor's race, you know what he did? He went up to the mansion. He starts measuring the drapes. He starts surveying how his desk looks and meeting who his staff's going to be. And does it look a little presumptuous? Maybe, but it looks a lot better than Rick Scott's chicken little, you know, Armageddon stuff.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, oh, there's something, Dan, now I forgot.
If you forget, that's it. You can't ever ask me again.
That's right. And then when I do this, I said, oh, my God, I hate getting older. You know, you stop. You can't. Who is this again? Who am I talking to?
This is the shot doctor, Daddy.
Yeah. He just walked in.
And he's bumbling around the studio like we're not even doing a show right now.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, you got a new...
Jim, you scored Comedy Gold with that guy.
Yeah,
I think he had a... Doesn't he have a show on some other station in town?
Yeah, he's got that sports show across the hallway.
Yeah, but that was good. And, Jim, I'm not going to... I know you're going to try to wrap me up, but I'm going to... without me saying something, but you have been an influence on me and on many in this town. When I came here more than 20 years ago, I tuned into you. I think you were a pioneer for making policy and politics interesting and funny. I have told you before, I don't think anybody more effectively wields a fart noise than the Phillips File. Right when you're halfway through a story on tax policy, one of those comes out, and people keep listening, and I'm joking about it, but people care more about these issues, and it prompts them to not only want to learn more, but do more. So for that, I am very appreciative.
Well, that's very kind. Those very nice words, but I'm sure you probably listened to me when you first came into town, said to yourself, somebody can do better than that.
No.
I got to write a column.
No, it is. It has always been good, even when it's bad. It's good.
Right. Well, what's coming up in the next column?
Oh, tomorrow. You know what? It's not even worth promoting. I'm going to be honest. It's a real mediocre column. I was looking forward to going out with you guys tonight. Yeah,
I love that.
It's one of those. I'm just going to phone it in. You got a new publisher editor, don't you?
Yes, we do. I think that's good. And by the way, I'm sure my colleagues are going to be doing good work. It's just mine. We got rid of our, I shouldn't say we got rid of our publisher departed, is what I was told in a Monday announcement. And we have a new publisher and a new editor, and we're hiring a new opinions editor,
good.
And we're hiring a new managing editor. As a matter of fact, Jim, you got some time on your hands. You want to come be our opinion editor?
Oh, Jim,
why not? Give me give me one of those visors, you know, and those garters you put on your sleeve so I don't get ink on my shirt sleeve.
Yep.
Sure, count me in.
Yeah, you need a banker's green light and a cigar hanging out of your mouth.
I'm
like
ready.
Grant. You get to run out and go, Maxwell, get in here.
Stop the presses.
Get me Spider-Man.
We don't actually have presses anymore, but you can still yell it. I mean, everybody will look at you like you're crazy.
All right, buddy. I'll see you later tonight.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Pleasure. Congratulations.
Scott Maxwell writes the Taking Names column for the Orlando Sentinel. What's the matter?
It's the last one.
I believe that Scott will be joining the Jim Colbert program. Is that right?
He will be, yes.
Okay, that's good news.
We're going to keep Wednesday conversations alive with Scott Maxwell.
So this is one of those let's kiss each other's asses. I mean, Scott Maxwell, he's one of the most powerful persons in Central Florida. There's no question about that. He does great work and keeps a lot of people in power on their toes. And every community needs somebody like him.
And on the other side of that, he's a really great guy.
And he's a nice guy.
Yeah, and he's actually really fun to hang out with. So, yeah, he has graciously agreed to continue his weekly calls with the Jim Colbert Show. So we're very thankful for that.
The Jim Colbert Show debuts Monday, November 26th at 3 on Real Radio 104.1.
Your chance to win $1,000 is just minutes away on Real Radio 104.1.
Here we go. This is the last shot doctor casting call on the Phillips File. The Phillips File comes to an end. Well, next week, we'll be here Monday, Tuesday live. Wednesday's a tribute show. Thursday and Friday will be best of. And then it's the Jim Colbert Show that starts Monday, November 26th.
So there ain't no casting call on the Jim Colbert Show, is there?
Not that I'm aware of.
Did you get your invite?
No.
That's right.
Well, what are you going to do? Casting Call is one of the best
me neither.
Segments the Phillips File has ever presented in its past 31 years of existence. There's no question about it in my mind.
How about that, Shot Doctor?
Yeah, and it's ending right now.
Oh, yeah. There's that.
Well, talk to the program director.
Jack?
He's out.
Never mind.
No. All right, Shot, here's what... I don't have a speed round for you today. Just talk to me about the UCF-Cincinnati game this coming weekend. Ooh. What do you think?
Well, the great thing was on FM 96.9 The Game, Orlando Sports Leader, of course, with the home of UCF, we just had on Chris Fowler moments ago. Chris Fowler of ESPN and ABC is doing a play-by-play of the game with Kirk Herbstreit. And so this is going to be fantastic. Cincinnati's a really good team, by the way. But UCF, they've come this far.
Yeah.
And Mackenzie Milton... it's going to have a big game against these guys. It's going to be a nice high-scoring game. I hope it goes into overtime and UCF wins. I want to see an overtime game. Jack, I know you were both the USF game last year and the Memphis game last year. Remember
yes,
those?
Without a doubt.
They were two of the best college football games I've ever seen in my life. Remember how good they were?
And then to follow that up with the Peach Bowl, and I got to go to all three. They were three just extremely competitive, exciting games.
I will predict the UCF-Cincinnati game. UCF, the Knights, of course, over Cincinnati by a score of 36-21.
36-21
UCF.
That's a total of 57. And I think not bad. I think it's going to be a little bit higher scoring.
Do you really?
But I think it's going to be UCF winning in overtime, like 47-40, something like that.
I think UCF's going to be a little nervous right at the beginning because it's just one of those games. And give them a couple of minutes, and boom, they'll get into their routine. They know a lot is at stake against playing against Cincinnati. So you might get a little nervous, purvis type stuff, but then they'll settle down.
I think UCF
nervous, purvis.
I think UCF's going to come out really fast and score fast and score first and really put the pressure on Cincinnati.
That may be. Okay.
But the whole thing with College Game Day coming here, it'll be set up at Memory Mall, which is a really nice big area. It'll be it's going to be a really great day.
It's going to be raucous.
It'll be beyond raucous. This is a good one.
Yeah.
This is going to be a really good one. So
you're going to the game?
I won't be at the game.
Okay. You'll be in front of your TV.
Oh yeah. I got my TV, that big black leather chair, got the sides like that,
the
ottoman right there, the cushion in the back like that. My TV's about 8 feet away. I got a perfect view. It's going to be tremendous.
Do you take your shoes and socks off when you're...
Yes.
You do?
Yes, and there's no food. All the food stays in the kitchen.
Yeah, I understand that.
No food.
Okay. Ready for casting? We've been doing Casting Call for over 4 years. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
You've won how many Jimmys so far?
I mean, I've won between 24 and 30 Jimmys. I've won so many Jimmys, I've lost count.
Jimmys, it's our equivalent of the Oscar, of course, the Academy Award.
And I've got them on at home.
So today I decided to go back to one of the movies that we did earlier that I thought it was one of your stellar performances. I think you might agree.
This was the one where I think I got my first Jimmy. I think it was this one.
I think you're right.
I think it might be right. I think you are. Yeah, you're right.
This was a long time ago. I remember doing this one.
Yeah.
Had to work at it like we always do.
Okay.
Made things happen. Man, am I hungry. God, am I hungry. I'm sorry, Jim. I didn't mean to interrupt. Can't call with this movie.
All right.
I am starving.
Let me
I try to do this right today, and right now it's telling me.
Let me just say what's going on.
Sorry, Jack.
I wanted to keep this quiet, but I'm hosting a dinner for so many of the people that have been involved with this program over the years. I did it a couple of years ago, and then I decided,
I went to that one, too. It was fantastic.
And so the shot doctor, he's been telling me all day that he's been pacing himself. You know, shot doctor eats a lot of food.
He can really consume a lot of food. Yeah.
But today, I'm going to pace myself. I'm pacing myself. And
it just hit me, Jim. I'm starving, and it's 6:06.
You got a while to go, dude.
I'll make it.
Why don't you go to the snack machine after you get out of here? Get some chips or something.
The last thing I'm going to do is spoil my appetite. I'll make it.
Well, you're not going to spoil your appetite by getting some Ritz crackers or something.
No, I have big plans for tonight with your dinner. And the last thing I want to do is deter from that. So I'll suck it up the next 2 hours, but I am completely.
Well, I don't want you to be in a foul. I don't want you to be in a foul mood. I don't want you to be in a bad mood because you're so damn hungry. And I don't want you passing out.
In anticipation of this dinner tonight, I will be in a great mood.
Would you like a Fiber One bar?
What was that?
A Fiber One bar.
They're terrible.
My God, the last thing I need is fiber, man. I can't stop. Are you kidding me? Forget that.
Are you ready for this casting call?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
You're a pip. You know, you really are.
What does that mean? Jim, the last thing right now I need is fiber. Trust me.
You know, when you first came on, you were shy, you were introverted. You know, I think this show has been responsible for the shot that they're breaking out and being one of the stars of this company.
Jim, I'm even taking vacations now because of you. I'm leaving town. I'm going to different places, all kinds of stuff.
Good for you. All we have to do is find your girl now.
Oh, no. I will not get beaten. Oh, no. Oh, no. It's the last thing I need is that.
No girl, huh?
No. And no Fiber One bars. Trust me. My God.
What do you think might be worse for you, Fiber One bar or girlfriend?
Well, the thing about the Fiber One bars is somewhat controllable. The girlfriend thing can be really, really bad. Oh my!
All right,
God, am I hungry? I'll make it. 6:08.
All right, you got a job to do.
I'm
here.
Focusing. I can focus.
All right, we're gonna do this movie. Who's involved in this movie? Shot doctor, Mr. Pinkman, and Mr. Fritz. Is that right, sir?
Correct.
Okay. Any quiet on the set? When you think you can identify the movie, just text us at RealMobile77031. Everybody's ready. This is the last casting call ever on the Phillips file. Ready and. Action.
The world's finest surfers showed up today to do battle with what's turned out to be the biggest waves to hit this coast since 1946. Hello, everybody. I'm Stu Nahan, and I'd like you to meet this young man. His name? Jeff Spicoli. Jeff, congratulations to you. Things look rough out there today.
Well, I'll tell you, Stu, I did battle with some humongous waves, man, but you know, just like I told the guys at ABC, danger is my business, man.
A lot of people expected maybe Mark Cutback Davis or Bob Jungle Vet Gerard would take the honors this year.
Those guys are losers, man.
Well, that's fantastic. Let me ask you a question. When you get out there, do you ever fear for your life?
Well, Stu, I'll tell you. Surfing's not a sport, man. It's a way of life. It's no hobby. It's a way of looking at that wave and saying, hey, bud, let's party. Hey, where'd you get that jacket?
I got this from the network. Let me ask you a question. What's next for Jeff Spicoli?
Headed over to Australia and then the Hawaiian Internationals. Then me and Mick are going to wing on over to London and jam with the Stones.
Jeff!
You guys are invited too.
Jeff! Jeff, Dad says you have to get up!
Leave me alone!
Dad says you're going to be late again, you butthole!
Leave me alone, man!
Dad says you're going to be late again, you booger! Dad, Jeff threw a snorkel at me.
Cut. Perfect. Ooh. Absolute three Jimmies
Chills right there.
Oh. Chills down my spine. Absolutely correct.
Jack, I went
my
out
God
on top.
My God almighty.
I can't believe it. And by the way, the newcomer award for Fritz.
Exactly.
Wow, that was awesome.
Yeah. Woo. Definitely a Jimmy.
Oh, thank you.
My God, were you nervous all day about this? I know you're hungry, but, but can we get past that for just a second?
Yeah. This one I had.
You did?
Yeah.
Yeah. You are Jeff Spicoli.
I am Jeff Spicoli, winner of numerous Jimmys.
Jim, it's no surprise to anyone on the texting service that it was Fast Times at Ridgemont High. One of the movies we did early on, and this is the last casting call. Brad is here, co-producer for All Gaming.
Nice guy.
He has a special award he would like to bring into the studio this time. So if Brad would do that.
Let me just say, you know, Brad's been working with this program for we don't pay
18
him.
Years.
Been contributing a lot of effort to this program. Jim, long way, Brad.
Jim, look at this.
There you go.
Yeah. Jim, I can't believe this. You're bringing me a Jimmy.
What do we got here, Brad? It's in a box.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Hey, Brad, thanks for the Jimmy, man. I really appreciate that. This is really cool.
Look at that. That's cool. Look, it says.
What does it say?
It says all-time champion.
Oh.
Number one Jimmy. Shot yeah. Talker. I
all-time
like that. All-time
champion James R. Phillips. Look at that.
Cool.
A trophy.
Shot, what is that of?
There's
What's the record? 2,384. What is that, wins?
Yeah.
And 905 losses.
Damn.
Brad is a dedicated gentleman.
How many shows did you listen to? That's a joke. That's a Brad joke.
It's
Brad's always a little dry.
Yeah, it's not a Jimmy shot. It's actually the closest to the pin lifetime achievement award for
Trophy.
Jim Phillips.
What do you think
That's
about
a bowling
that?
Bowling pin.
Yeah, I know.
Closest to the pin. Get it?
I'm winning Jimmy's here. You got a bowling pin. I'm winning Jimmy's. That's pretty good, though.
You know, I love you, Shot Doctor. I really do. I mean, in all these years, you've helped out this program.
So, is this it, Jack?
Did you not get
you want a cracker?
I guess it's it, Shot. You want a Fiber One bar?
Can I get you something
Jack,
to eat?
The last thing I need is more fiber. Trust me, I can't stop.
You want some tissues?
No, I'm good.
All right.
Okay, I'm going to see you later, right? Have some chips or something, man, to tide you over.
Fritz just came in and gave him a half-eaten bag of Doritos to hold him over.
Jim, at this point in time, at 6:12, I'm going to make it.
I know it's tough for you. I mean, I know how much food you can consume.
Yeah, but
I've seen it for myself.
Yeah, but, you know, the way this thing is working out right now, I'd rather be hungry like this and have to sweat it out, which I will.
Yeah, but I don't want to walk in tonight and you're sitting there at slumped over in your chair with your head on the table because you've passed out from hunger.
Jim, I'm not going to pass out from hunger, but the good thing is that I'm in peak form to eat whenever this food starts to show up.
Hey, Shot.
Yeah.
Double appetizers.
That's all I needed to know.
And if you want more, you let me know. I'll get you more appetizers.
Oh,
whatever
man,
you want tonight, all right?
I'm ready.
All right, Shot. Thanks a lot for all your help over these years.
What, I'm done?
Great job. That's it. You're out of here. You're finished. You got to get out of here. It's buffoonery.
All right. Jim, I'll see you in about an hour and 47 minutes.
You got that,
Shot.
Thank you very much. It's the Phillips File on Real Radio 104.1.
It's time to rise above the butt jokes and hemorrhoid humor.
Even if only for a few fleeting moments.
And actually learn something. This is the 5-Minute Professor.
Speaking of the devil, this is the last 5-Minute Professor on the Phillips File after so many years. All right, Professor, you got about 18 minutes. Fire away. Greetings and salutations.
And to you, Mr. Phillips, and the file. So since this is my last lecture on the show, and I think I overshot the mark, because last week I did a lecture which was purposefully the same lecture I did at the beginning. So I bookended, and then there was one more week. And I said, okay, it's fine. I can do this. So I reached out to the Facebook group for 5-Minute Professor, and I asked the group what suggestions for topics. They suggested pork pie hats.
Oh.
Conks, ants, grinning dogs,
ooh,
radio personalities, doing a lecture on the Phillips File. One bastard suggested the advantages of brevity.
that was me.
But the best suggestion came from Sandy Seymour from Palm Coast.
All right.
She said that she thinks you would really like to know about people and facts about being left-handed.
Oh, sure.
Ooh.
In fact, she goes so far as to say that she thinks that you would be fascinated by this topic, and it's sure that it's one you will remember for the rest of your life.
I would imagine I would. Very close to my heart.
There it is. So, first of all, we know you're left-handed. Are you also left-eye dominant?
Yes.
Because that is not a given. It is only about 69% of all people who are left-handed are also left-eye dominant.
Huh.
So 10% of the population is left-handed. 69% of that is also left-eye dominant, but some right-handed people are also left-eye dominant. Even if both of your parents are left-handed, there's still only a 26% chance that their child will be left-handed.
Interesting.
That's crazy talk.
Because both of my parents were right-handed, and my brother, Johnny, and me were left-handed.
Oh. That's... Well, what about the milkman?
Easy.
It's not necessarily genetic, is what I'm trying to say. There's not a direct genetic connection.
That was
now,
pretty damn
it is
funny.
Something. No points, though.
I'm not supposed to laugh about that. You know, you're just not supposed to, but that was pretty funny.
So, throughout history, of course.
If my mother was still alive, it wouldn't be.
No, that would have been
The thing which I do, which embarrasses my mother, is I start counting from her anniversary until we get to my birthday, and we only get to 7. And then I look at her and say, Mom, what's going on? She says, you were premature. I said, Mom, I weighed 8 pounds. Imagine if I'd gotten those last 2 months in.
Oh, boy.
She finds it very embarrassing.
Oh, rim shot.
Anyway.
Perfect. But seriously, take my wife, please.
Throughout history, left-handed people have been tried to be forced into the conformity of right-handedness.
Right.
And it's built into a lot of cultural things. Sinister comes from the Latin, which goes to the French, for sinistra, comes to us from sinistra, the French.
And then the right
into
is
sinister.
Dexterous? Dexter?
Yes.
Yes.
Dexterous. Points? Adroit. I'll give you some points for that.
Yes.
Adroit is actually the other side of that is adroit. So, droit, en français, adroit, right-handed, sinister, left-handed. Rive gauche, the left side of the river. Here are some left-handed quarterbacks.
Okay.
Ken Stabler.
Yeah, the snake.
Steve Young.
Yeah.
And how about this? Tim Tebow is left-handed.
Okay.
Boxers that are left-handed. Manny Pacquiao.
Oh,
Manny Pacquiao.
Rocky Balboa.
Many great boxers are left-handed because most boxers are right-handed. And they never train against left-handers, so they never see it coming. They don't know what to
exactly
do with a left-hander.
Right. I'll give you points.
Well,
especially if they're
piston.
A little piston.
The little piston. Featherweight champion, Barracks B.
Marvelous Marvin Hagler.
Yeah.
Hector Camacho. Mm-hmm. Also, Conor McGregor. Conor McGregor, also left-handed.
Oh, I didn't know that. You have any proof of your little piston days? Like any newspaper clippings? Like you found a newspaper clipping of you receiving the Marconi Award back at school. Any evidence that you were a boxer?
Well, I didn't make it to the Golden Gloves or anything. I mean, it was high
people
school champion.
People still bear bruises from those days.
Oh.
What, like forgetfulness? Like I can't find the clippings?
Oh. We'll take your word for it.
8 U.S. presidents have been left-handed. James Garfield, Herbert Hoover, Harry S. Truman. Who wrote left-handed as a child, but was forced by his parents to write right-handed, so as a result, he could write both ways.
Obama, too.
Gerald, don't get ahead of me.
I'm trying to get points.
Gerald Ford, the 38th president of the United States, was left-handed, but could switch back and forth. Ronald Reagan is left-handed, but was forced by school teachers to write right-handed. George Herbert Walker Bush, Bill Clinton, and Barack Obama, all left-handers.
Yeah, exactly.
International Left-Handers Day is held annually every August 13th. It was founded by the Left-Handers Club in 1992. And according to the club, it is an annual event where left-handers everywhere can celebrate their sinistrality, or left-handedness, and increase public awareness of the advantages and disadvantages of being left-handed.
Oh, it's a handicap. There's no question about it.
Well, in a lot of society, things are made for the 90% of people, not for the 10% of people.
Yeah.
So in today's society, many people have had to adjust. How's your shooting? Now, do you use a sight when you're shooting and just shoot left-handed?
Well, I'm left-eye dominant, left-handed, so there's no big deal, no big problem.
Well, as long as you use your left eye. I mean, that's a thing. You have to do that in order to be successful
left-eye dominant. Well, the problem is if you have a bolt-action rifle, most of them are made for right-handers. So you shoot left-handed, and then you have to reach over, and it's a big pain in the ass.
I remember growing up at Boy Scout camp, one of the things we used to get sent off for were left-handed things, like the left-handed smoke shifter, the left-handed screwdriver.
Yeah.
And although screwdrivers, although ostensibly designed to be used by either hand, anything that's ergonomic is designed for a right-hander. They're not designed for a lefty. I mean, you've put up with this for all these years, Mr. Phillips.
Scissors, power tools. I mean, the whole whatever. You know, try to learn guitar being left-handed.
Well, you know what Jimi Hendrix did.
What did he do?
He
played with his teeth.
He played his guitar upside down. The unique sound of Jimi Hendrix was because the key progression was in the opposite order on his guitar. So when he strummed, it was like he was strumming from the bottom up instead of from the top down.
I told you it was hard.
He essentially had a right-handed guitar flipped upside down. The pickup was right underneath his elbow. It wasn't down at the bottom of the guitar. He played the guitar upside down and restrung it.
I'll stick with a harmonica.
Those are pretty much not right-handed. Are you ready for some questions?
Yeah, let's do some questions. Come on, let's score an A. Let's see what we can do here.
All right, here it is. We did talk about the left-handed screwdriver we were sent out for at Boy Scout camp. A left-handed screwdriver is a cocktail, which adds what type of fruit juice?
Jack, orange.
Not orange. Yeah, orange is a regular screwdriver.
Oh, wait, what did he said?
Left-handed screwdriver.
Grapefruit?
Yeah, grapefruit.
Grapefruit juice is absolutely correct. Yeah, nicely done.
All right.
It's half orange, half grapefruit juice, and, of course, the vodka. The grapefruit is a native to an island off of the coast of what continent?
Jim.
The grape... Mr. Phillips.
That would certainly be Africa.
It is not Africa.
Damn it.
The grapefruit is a native of an island off the coast of what continent?
France.
Come on.
Mr. Fritz.
South America.
South America is absolutely correct. Nicely done.
Is it Grenada?
Not Grenada, it's Barbados.
Close enough.
Barbados. It is considered politically a part of North America because it's in the Lesser Antilles, but is far closer to South America. And if you look at it from a plate tectonics perspective, it is on the edge of the... Everyone does. on the edge of the Caribbean and the South American plate. So it really is geologically South American.
That's what
it's
I'd
100
be doing
miles
tonight
east of
if
the Caribbean.
I wasn't hosting that party, I'd be looking at tectonic plates. I mean, you talk about
Maybe it's something you could do this weekend. Maybe next Wednesday at this time you could be doing that, Mr.
Phillips. Maybe. Okay.
The highest point on Barbados is how many meters above sea level? The highest point on Barbados is how many meters above sea level?
Jim, believe it or not, it's 500.
Fewer.
Fritz. 200.
More.
Jack. 300.
More.
Brad.
Mr. Brad.
Yeah, Brad, what do you got?
What did you say, Jeff?
Between 3 and 5.
300 and 400.
Oh, 4. Between 3.
Say 3 and 4. I'll help you out.
350.
Less than 350. Come do
on,
we have another
man.
Guess?
Come on.
I'm going to go with 340, sir.
340 is absolutely correct.
Nice. How do you do that?
Jeez, 340 meters.
He said, say 3 and 4. That'll help you out.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
He gives clues.
Oh, you're smart.
He is pretty smart.
1,120 feet.
Wish I knew that.
Barbados is home to recording artist Rihanna.
Mm-hmm.
She had her first number one
Umbrella.
Hit. She had her first number one hit. SOS in what year?
Pinkman.
Mr. Pinkman.
2006.
That is absolutely correct.
Was there a time clue there, too?
Yeah, when he said no to Umbrella, he went 2006.
By the way, Rihanna was 18 when she had her first number one hit.
Yes, she was.
Rihanna also appeared as herself in the third film of what movie series about cheerleading in that year? Rihanna also appeared as herself.
What is it?
Jack, High School Musical? No.
Pink
Not
Man.
High School Musical. Mr.
Pinkman,
Pink
Bring It On.
Bring It On is absolutely
really?
Correct. Yeah. Mr. Pinkman Pinkman's has picked on. Up the team, put it on his shoulders, and is trudging towards
I got
the
you
end.
Guys.
Yeah, but listen to what the questions he's answering.
They relate to my generation.
The third and final movie in this series was Bring It On, All or Nothing. It also starred Beyonce's sister, Solange, and Hayden Panettiere.
Can we get back to Civil War battleships or something?
Hayden is just about the same age as Rihanna, but has been around for a while.
Yeah.
Her first starring role was as Princess Dot in A Bug's Life. That was released in November 25th of what year? What year did A Bug's Life come out?
Jack, 2002.
Before 2002?
1998.
1998 is absolutely nice. Correct. Oh, nice.
What are you going to do? Sorry. Whoops.
It's Tough to Be a Bug has been a 3D show at which Disney theme park since April of 1998, seven months before the movie came out. Mr. Fritz.
Oh, God. What did I say? Magic Kingdom.
It is not the Magic Kingdom. It's Tough to Be a Bug has been a 3D show at which Disney theme park since April of 1998.
Jim, that's Animal Kingdom. The film.
It is Animal Kingdom. Nicely done. Yeah, Animal Kingdom came out on Earth Day, 1998. That's when it opened. It opened Earth Day, April 22nd. Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom was hosted by Marlon Perkins from 1963 until what year?
Jim, work off of me.
1972.
After 1972.
Jack, 1978.
After 1978.
No kidding.
Brad, 1982.
After 1982.
Damn, come on.
Fritz, 1985?
1985 is absolutely correct!
Nice.
Nice job.
Impression points.
Nice job.
Good job, Fritz.
I think he reached puberty during that answer.
Even the five-minute professor's scaring Fritz.
Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. You probably don't remember this. In 1983, they had a big scandal because they were trying to make the show more and more interesting so they could hold on to their audience.
Yeah.
So they started staging bits, including releasing a bear in the Everglades and then filming the capture of it like it was wild in the Everglades.
Mm-hmm.
And they captured it, and they got in some trouble. And then in 85, Marlon Perkins stepped away. This week in 1985, which band had a number one hit with a song originally written by Bernie Taupin, We Built This City?
Jack.
Easy.
Yeah, go ahead.
Jefferson Mr. Starship.
Brent. Not
or
correct.
Just Starship.
You can't correct yourself. Does anyone else know the right answer?
Starship.
Yeah. It is Starship.
Yay.
Jim got it right. Nice job.
I'm going to stab you with a fork.
Yeah, my...
You'd have to see me to do that, Mr. Bradshaw. When's that going to happen?
Yeah.
On one of the TV shows about a starship named Enterprise, Brent Spiner, who is turning 70...
Data.
That is absolutely correct. Nicely done.
Nerd.
Brent Spiner playing a sentient and self-aware android with what name was the question?
Fritz,
it's Data.
Fritz, Lore.
I was 4 minutes late to work every single day because I would watch that show at 3 o'clock.
Is that Brent Spiner?
Star Trek: The Next Generation.
Was it this program where you showed up late for the file?
Or was it the pizza parlor?
That was the Calico Jacks, and I was the manager.
Nice work,
yeah.
Brent Spiner and Leonard Nimoy were also famous for roles on the original series. Are both examples of actors, along with Jim Carrey, Matthew Broderick, Bruce Willis, Hugh Jackman, and Robert De Niro, who have which dominant hand?
Jim left.
Oh, yeah.
That is absolutely correct.
Thank you. I got it.
Brent Spiner, Leonard Nimoy, Jim Carrey, Matthew Broderick, Bruce Willis, Hugh Jackman, and Robert De Niro are all left-handers. Nicely done, one and all. I don't know how you guys managed to do this. This is a really good score.
Yeah, it is. Hey, I'm sure.
This is better than last week. Better than last week. It is a 114.
Oh, my goodness.
It's the best score in the history of forever. Nicely done.
Good work, everybody. Good work.
Thank you.
All right, nice Professor, job. What are you going to be up to? Where are you going to be?
I'm not going to be doing the Waco Taco gig for the next 2 weeks. Make sure you check out the Facebook page. The best way to follow what's going on with the 5-Minute Professor going forward is to join the 5-Minute Professor Facebook page.
Yeah.
And we will continue to be there. I will keep doing live trivia two nights a week. On Thursday nights, I am at the Silly Grape. That's right there in Maitland. Mr. Phillips, if you have any free time, come on by. The cheesesteaks are available till 8 p.m. on Thursdays and Fridays. That's the only two nights that they do these
silly
Philly.
They have cheesesteaks from the Silly Philly the other day. They're absolutely terrific.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Really
that was good. Stuff.
And they're nice people there, too.
They are. On Tuesday nights, I do Post Time Lounge and Cafe. Right now, we're still doing a $50 gift certificate first prize.
Wow.
$25 for second place. $10 for third place. And that's on Tuesday night, so you can get all the details. We're going to be there tomorrow night at the Silly Grape. We'll be there next Tuesday at post time, even though school's on vacation. We're still going to be there. Thursday, I think we're going to take the day off from the Silly Grape, though, for Thanksgiving.
There you go. I'll see you later tonight, Five-Minute Professor. Thanks for all your hard work over the years. I appreciate it. It's always been great. Been good fun.
I appreciate being with you.
You got it, buddy. I'll see you later. The Phillips File last live show, by the way, is next Tuesday. Phillips File Tribute Show on Wednesday. Best of on Thanksgiving Day and Friday. Then the Jim Colbert Show debuts Monday, November 26th at 3. I can walk outside and take a deep breath and just say... All right, that's it. It's the Phillips File on Real Radio. Let's get a check of the news, then the boys are going to wrap things up. I got to get ready for a party tonight. Here's Big Daddy.
Thank you, Big Jim Weasel. A man dressed as Fred Flintstone was pulled over while driving his smart car that he decorated to look like Fred Flintstone's car. You bought Abba, don't? Next, a young boy in England got 6 points on his future license for speeding on his electric scooter. Boy, he had the need for speed, bruv, mate. Finally, a New Jersey man is facing a DUI charge after telling police he drank too much because the Jets suck. Boy, I'm surprised we haven't seen more Bills fans getting pulled over. Am I right? Headlines were brought to you by the free iHeartRadio app. Whether you say OK Google or Alexa, always make sure you say play Real Radio 104.1 on iHeartRadio. End transmission.
Call now for person, place, or thing 407-916-1041. You're listening to The Phillips File.
Real Radio 104.1.
Welcome back to the Phillips File. Jack Pinkman, Fritz, and Brad, co-producer for All Gaming, still here. Jim had to take an early leave. He'll be back tomorrow at 3. And is that Christmas music? Yes.
My goodness.
It's a little early for Christmas music? Maybe. However, it's not too early to win tickets to Trans-Siberian Orchestra. That is the prize. That is the band you're hearing right now. Pinkman, tell us about the prize for person, place, or thing.
This is for Trans-Siberian Orchestra's The Ghost of Christmas Eve. At the Amway Center on December 15th, you can buy your tickets now. Go to realradio.fm keyword tickets for more info.
All right, so that is the prize. Thank you very much, Mr. Pinkman. It's time for Person, Place, or Thing. We have our five callers in place, and we get ready to get them on board and ready to go, and we're going to see who's going to get the great prize. And then we'll tell you about a really cool prize we have lined up for tomorrow as well. So let's get the game going with Nathan. Hello, Nathan.
Evening.
Ready to play?
Yeah.
Nathan, from you, I would like to know, what would you like to play, person, place, or thing?
Go place.
Let's go place. Thanks to Brad for the category. Hey, wait. Thanks, Brad.
Thanks, Brad.
Thanks, Brad.
Okay. Brad's usually not sitting right next to us when we say that. Also, thanks to Robert from Who's the Smarty. Robert, for many years, was writing game shows and doing game shows on the show every other Tuesday. And this game kind of morphed out of what he was doing. So we appreciate everything he's done to help this show as well. So, Nathan, ready to go? You picked place. Here is your clue. This place has its own pharmacy, post office, weather station, and media outlets. What is this place?
The South Pole.
Is it the South Pole? I'm going to have to give you...
Is that your final answer?
Don't have that one. I do have that.
Oh.
Sorry, Nathan, not the South Pole. get rid of him, and let's get John. Hello, John.
Hello.
Ready for your clue? It's a place.
Yes, sir.
This place conducts remote astronomical research from its state-of-the-art telescope in Arizona. So the place is not in Arizona. They have a telescope in Arizona. But the place also has its own pharmacy, post office, weather station, and media outlets.
Oh, all I can think is the Empire State Building.
Oh, great guess. Let me just let you know that it was wrong. Sorry, buddy. Moving on.
It was wrong.
Mark.
Yes.
Hello, Mark. Ready to play?
I sure am.
We have another Mark waiting behind you, so if you don't get this right, another man named Mark will get a shot at it. Your Mark clue, too. Mark. Most of its citizens live abroad but keep current via its weekly newspaper. All right. The place has its own pharmacy, post office, weather station, and media outlets. It conducts remote astronomical research from its state-of-the-art telescope that's located in Arizona. Most of its citizens live abroad but keep current via its weekly newspaper. What is this place, Mark, or where is this place?
I'll say Ascension Island.
Oh, Ascension Island, and let's do you. It is not correct. Sorry, buddy. Moving on to Mark 2, as earlier Electric. Promised. Hello, Mark.
Two. Hey, Jack. How you
Electric
doing?
Boogaloo.
I'm doing right. I'm doing all right. Here we go. Your clue. Holy cheese cow. It has the world's smallest standing army. What is this place?
Is this like a state? Cheese cow.
Holy cheese cow.
I'm thinking of something of Wisconsin. I don't know. Geez.
Has the world's smallest standing army. They have a weekly newspaper. They have a remote astronomical research facility and a telescope in Arizona. I didn't know that. Place has its own pharmacy, its own post office, weather station, media outlets. What is this place?
And I heard that before about the world's smallest army and... I heard this before just recently, and I can't. I'm going to say Iceland.
Oh, Iceland. So sorry, Mark. It's not Iceland.
Sturgebergen.
Sturgebergen. Patrick from Orlando, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
You get the fifth and final clue. Are you ready to go?
Yes, sir. Let's do it.
God bless it. This independent city-state is 1/8 the size of New York Central Park. What is this place?
I would have to say that it's the Vatican.
Vatican is your guess? Want to change your mind?
No, I'm going to say Vatican City. I'm sticking to it.
Holiday magic. You are right, Patrick from Orlando, Vatican City.
Oh, my God, that's awesome.
You turn into a woman. You hear that?
Patrick, you're getting tickets to Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Hang on. I'll try not to hang up on you. Oh, let's put him on hold, and let's do that there.
Nice.
Congratulations. Tomorrow, I just learned for a special closest to the pin at 520. Jim Phillips has only 3 closest to the pin games left. He is at 38 losses. He's trying to keep it under 40 losses. And however, if you defeat Jim tomorrow, you're going to win a pair of tickets to see the Orlando Magic take on the Los Angeles Lakers and LeBron James Saturday at the Amway Center. That game, by the way, will be broadcast live here on Real Radio. Both Magic games this weekend will be on Real Radio and the Tampa Bay Bucks games, working with our partner FM 96.9 The Game. But congratulations to Patrick. He's today's prize winner. Thank everyone. Brad, thank you for coming in. And not
Thanks,
only
Brad.
That, 18 years of writing these games or so. Fritz, thank you. Fantastic job today.
Thank you.
Thanks, Fritz.
On Casting Call.
Thank you.
I believed you were Jeff Spicoli's little brother.
I was something.
Pinkman.
I was Jack.
Pinkman. Thank you. Maybe... In the next couple of days, you're going to tell us what you're doing.
I mean, people keep asking me.
They do keep asking.
Jeez, lay off.
And when you're ready to tell them, you're going to tell them. Right?
I already told them I'm becoming a commercial airline pilot.
All right. Well, that's cool.
I know. Dreams.
All right. Well, listen, ladies and gentlemen, thank you. So tomorrow, live edition of the Phillips File. We think Moira will be back. She was out of town today, but we expect her back tomorrow. Jim Phillips will be here, Pinkman, and yours truly as well. We come your way right after the News Junkie. They follow the Monsters in the Morning. Stay tuned. A Corporate Time with Tom and Dan coming up next on Real Radio 104.1. Bye-bye. Take care and namaste.
Good night, Penny. Good night, Will. Remember, brush your teeth.